Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
RPN is not responsible for the views, actions, statements, or opinions of its guests, advertisers, or even its viewers. The information contained in this program is not to be confused with medical or legal advice. An appearance on this platform is not necessarily an endorsement, but as always, we encourage you to do your own research. Enjoy the show. Alright guys, well, I lost my stream for a second there. My OBS shut down. I'm hoping you can still hear me. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Let me know that you can hear me out there. Give me a 5x5 in the chat if you've got audio on your end. It's not just Rumble, Scott. It's my OBS. My OBS just shut down entirely. Okay, we've got audio. We've got a full house. Do me a favor, hit the like button. Help us out by sharing the show. We've got so much to discuss, not the least of which is the trap set for President Trump by the corrupt Biden regime. You guys, if you don't know the story yet, you are going to want to hear it. Besides that, we are going to learn about my dog, Cricket. For some reason, I didn't think I had enough time to get it trained, and so I took it out to a rock quarry and shot it in the head. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was Christy Gnome that did that. Oh, man. Fredo told me about this over the weekend, and I gotta say, it's career suicide. What the hell was she thinking? I mean, I get it. You grow up on a farm. You live on a ranch. I mean, you're gonna take care of something in a certain way, but... Jeez, a peach. Whatever happened to taking responsibility for a life? I mean, a dog is a dog. You didn't have Caesar Milan. You couldn't call somebody like that. Yeah, chicks are exactly. Good God. All right. So hit that like button. Share the show. Help us out. Really appreciate it. Sit back. Relax. Grab your popcorn. And we're going to be right back in just a moment after this. You guys, I can't tell you how often I get DMs and emails from people who want... So recently, I've told you guys about a breakthrough new anti-aging remedy that I've been using that keeps me energized all day long. I just take a teaspoonful of C60 Evo olive oil in the morning, and I notice better mental focus, flexibility, and physical endurance. Now, it's rare to feel improvements this quickly. I also end up sleeping deeper at night, so it's really helpful. Their peptide and ESS60 hair and lotion renewal formulas are exceptional because they really work. And C60 Evo's lab has been manufacturing this Nobel Prize winning miracle molecule for 32 years in their Houston, Texas Patriot-owned lab. ESS60 is the upgraded version of the Carbon 60 molecule. It's specifically made for both people and pets. It's a potent and effective way for people's lives to be improved all around the world. So maximize your health and enjoy noticeable results with C60 Evo organic edible oils, skin serums, and pet products. You can buy with confidence from C60 Evo, and you can use my personal code for a discount at checkout. Simply go to c60evo.com/redpill78. And then when you're there, use code redpill78 for an additional 10% off your entire order. Once again, that's c60evo.com/redpill78. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right, guys, welcome back. Thank you so much for being around. I appreciate this. Helio, is it Helio or Gilio Humberto says you need a lab coat for this ad, Zach. It's not a bad idea. I used to own a lab coat years ago, but I don't have one now. I don't have a lab here in Florida, but I did back in Michigan. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much for being here. I really do appreciate it. Yeah, that is a buckyball. It's also known as a buckyball, carbon 60 atoms. That is definitely the buckyball. Oh gosh. So let me start out here real quick. I have a quick video I wanted to play for you guys. You know, the fourth PSYOP group, the Army's psychological operations unit, they put a new video out over the weekend. Let's go ahead and check this out. It's not very long. It's only a couple of seconds. That's why I wanted to start with it. And okay, so let's go ahead and watch this newest video from our friends at the fourth PSYOP group.
Hello.
All right, short but sweet. If you go back to the history of World War II and also plenty of conflicts throughout the history of the United States and also other nations of the world. Yeah, this is a brand new one for you. What you'll typically see is that certain elements of the opposing army's forces will do leaflet drops over the battlefield where their enemy is stationed and where they're sleeping and, you know, living, preparing for battle and such. And oftentimes they will be essentially pamphlets delivering a certain type of psychological operation, either giving information to the enemy about how they're losing, perhaps telling them how they can surrender. But essentially those info drops in those leaflets are designed to sort of infect the mind of the enemy with a mind virus of sorts. Now, obviously, this is the 21st century. We're talking about fifth-generation warfare. We're talking about info wars in terms of the internet. We're talking about electronic passage of information. And, you know, I like to think of myself as a sort of modern-day leaflet dropper. I'm not only speaking to the enemy, but obviously I'm speaking to the troops. That's you guys. And so I am delivering that information. And I like to think that this is a special message from the fourth PSYOPs group, letting us know and letting the world know that, yes, they are still active, and they're also taking part in the dropping of those electronic leaflets, if you will. Thank you so much. Scott says, bro, it's not you. Rumble is dumping on many streams today. Well, here's the thing, Scott. I think we are probably going to have two simultaneous problems, because the issue that I experienced with my software, that was definitely on my computer. But I know that Rumble also seems to be having problems as well. And again, doesn't look like anybody's over there on Pilled. Nobody stuck around on Pilled. You guys all left. Well, I guess I'll just say Lou Ann V, thank you. Happy Monday, Zach. Looking forward to a great week. FilterDog1 says 5x5 had a shutter, but let's hit it. Just Duckies says, much love. Good to see you. God bless. Good to see you as well. And, you know what? I'm going to go to Pilled and I'm going to see if it is actually playing over there. Yeah, it says it's playing, but I'm not getting any sort of, chats from you guys. All right. Well, either way, I just thought that video was pretty interesting. And especially when you put it in context with their past releases. And, you know, why not? Why don't we go ahead and just go back to a video that they released? Gosh, it's almost 2 years ago now. Well, I guess it's 1 year ago now. But this is the Ghost in the Machine video. This is a great one. Just another little reminder that Fourth PSYOPs is always present. They have infected every single element of every conduit of information. The ghost in the machine.
As the world watches and listens in horror, the peaceful pro-democracy demonstration in China comes to a violent and bloody end.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
So interesting to note, the fall of the Soviet Union happened basically because we willed it to happen. I mean, there were a lot of psychological operations being engaged to demoralize the people of the USSR, and more importantly, to convince the government of the USSR that it wasn't going to be able to continue. We forced them to outspend themselves in the nuclear arms race by making them believe that we had more weapons than we actually did. And so they put all of their time, money, and resources into that, and it stretched them too thin. What's really interesting in light of that fact is that we're kind of seeing the exact same thing happen now in the United States of America. Our resources are being dumped into illegal alien invaders, whereas normally we would be putting our time, money, and resources into protecting the homeland, into the national security of the United States of America. Instead, we are focusing on essentially propping up the influx of illegal aliens. Now, does the Fourth PSYOP group have anything to do with that operation? Is this a slow and steady destruction of the United States of America, or is it a slow and steady destruction of the deep states of America? I don't know. You tell me.
Wolves hiding nearby.
And yes, I know that there have been other videos, but these are currently the only two that are available. And the one that I just showed you was new, and this one was the first one that came out.
Whispering, do or die.
They've got other videos that are on social media platforms that I don't have handy.
Around me. You say your last good night while I'm dead.
So just another quick commentary here, you know, the idea that warfare is evolving. I mean, we know that. And I mean, that's what General Flynn talks about in his book. And we've talked about it on the channel a number of times. You know, the specific manner in which warfare is fought has continually been evolving. And you know, now that we're in fourth and now fifth generation warfare, the battlefield has changed so completely. Yes, there are still hot kinetic wars that are going on around the world, clearly in Ukraine, Europe. That's obviously happening right now in the Middle East between Hamas and the IDF. But this very first video right here was an unprecedented sort of reach out from the Force PSYOPs group. I mean, this was revolutionary in its display and the information that it was presenting, because it's truly almost like a calling card for them embracing that idea of warfare changing. They've never done anything like this before. They don't run recruiting campaigns. So this was more of a sort of, maybe a finger in the bullet hole, if you will.
There is another very important phase of warfare. It has as its target not the body, but the mind of the enemy.
The target of psychological warfare is against the enemy's mind.
It is words and ideas.
Ammunition used by Cywar.
It Its mission is to influence the thoughts of the enemy soldiers, and at the same time
is expected and encouraged to study foreign languages and the social sciences such as history, economics, and sociology. He must have a broad and sympathetic understanding of all phases of human experience.
Gripping at my skin, the walls of night closing.
So the thing about this is, and Jim says, unfortunately, it's the shiny object syndrome while they rob our freedom. Jim, that shiny object syndrome has been, unfortunately, a symptom of what's happening in America for decades at this point. I mean, this is not a new phenomenon. It's been happening for a very long time. The powers that be have always been very good at distracting us. And one of the big, big problems that we have today, is that it's not just one thing. You know, I mean, this is a multifaceted attack that America and her people are undergoing right now, and they have been for a very long time. We've reached this sort of point of critical mass, and the presence of the Fourth PSYOP group, I think, is instrumental in helping to unravel the negative things that have happened to our nation and where we go from here. Because psychological operations don't go just one way. They go both ways. And Fourth PSYOPs, I mean, they're not the only group out there that is running PSYOPs. And not only is it going to be done in an official sense, like in a military capacity, but clearly we have a lot of private actors that are out there right now doing this exact same thing. And so, you know, in sort of an illustrative way, it helps people, I would believe, to understand exactly how that's happening. And it should deter you against falling prey to that shiny object syndrome that Jim mentions. You should always, always, always be looking at every piece of information and asking the question, you know, what is really the ultimate purpose of this information as it's being delivered? Who is it that's delivering this information? Who benefits from this information being given to me? How am I reacting to this information? What happens if I react a different way? What happens if I just stop and think for a moment before I'm allowing myself to fall victim to the inevitable emotionality that oftentimes is what they're hoping to gain from you? If you're angry and upset about one thing, then you may be missing the boat on a whole host of things that are happening just on the other side of your shoulder.
But the use of this force as an integral part of combat has now taken on new form.
I mean, it's...
These are the Psy War soldiers.
It's quite literally stunning. Stunning to see that ad. Stunning to know that they would even consider putting that out. Colorist68, hey, Zach, it's Nidia. First time I'm catching you live, so I'm excited. Well, Nidia, thank you so much for being here. I'm really glad that you're here live for the very first time. So, again, I go back to the idea that considering the knowledge that we are currently engaged in fifth generational warfare, considering the fact that you know intrinsically, even if you're not thinking about it all the time, that psychological operations are happening around you all the time, every single day, 24 hours a day. There are people who are knowingly engaging in this specific type of warfare tactic. There are people who are falling prey to others who are controlling their actions. They don't even know that they're engaging in this sort of thing. And then there are people who actively look for it and seek to fight back against it. I want you guys to be part of that last group. a person who will, what is the word? Hang on, there's an old adage. A person who believes anything will fall for, you know what? I can't remember what it is anyways, but all I'm trying to say is keep your wits about you and don't just fall for that next shiny object that comes along. Andy Pearson, why are all the unemployed POS wanting free Palestine? Get a job and buy your own. Oh, that's the thing, Andy. They're not unemployed. They are certainly being employed to stage a Summer of Love 2.0 in the streets of America right now. We'll have more to talk about that in just a moment. Also, I think I missed something from Trisha. Trisha had said, are we seeing the Ezekiel 38 war about to happen? Russia putting troops on the northern border of Israel. Quite literally, Trisha, anything is possible right now. And I'm leaving my mind open for the possibility that literally anything may happen at any given day. Ultimately, I do believe that America will prevail. I believe that her people are strong and resilient, and we're going to overcome this because we're quick approaching the point where every single day is an unprecedented moment in history. Every single day, you're going to be faced with things that you maybe never thought you would be faced with. And I just want every single one of you to remember that you can't take anything for granted. It is no longer safe, and it hasn't been for a very long time, to just believe any bullshit that people shovel into your mouth. And believe me, the closer we get to the election, the harder it's going to be to discern what's true, and the more bullshit you're going to be finding on your plate. But just look at everything with a critical eye. Don't allow yourself to fall victim to emotionality with every news story that comes across the wire, because the idea here is to demoralize you. The idea is to make you believe that we're not going to prevail, that we will not be successful, that there is nothing that we have to be hopeful for, that it's better for us to just give up, to sit down and shut up. But it's never going to be to that point. I've said this many times before, I would rather die on my feet than surrender on my knees. I'm not going to surrender, and I encourage each and every one of you not to either. And again, to be on the lookout for psychological operations that are designed to take your eyes off the prize and to take your trust from where it should be going. My mother says, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Thank you, Mother. I knew you'd know it. You're the one who told it to me. All right. Askwatch says, happy Monday, Zach. Thank you very much, Askwatch. All right. Let's talk about Kristi Noem. You know, I mean, just thinking about messaging, I when Fredo told me the story over the weekend, I couldn't believe that this was real. I mean, you know, Kristi Noem, she's a fairly successful, she's a governor, okay? But she's a Republican whose star has kind of been rising for a while. And, you know, I've seen people say it in the chat. She was in consideration to be a VP for President Trump. You know, I mean, nobody is trying to play the DEI game. But let's be honest. I mean, she's a woman and that doesn't hurt. In today's world, the politicians are looking to get the most well-rounded candidates. And Kristi Noem being a strong Republican woman, well, you know, that plays well. That just plays well at the ballot box. However, what she wrote in her book does not play well. Jim says the bullshit that's being taught in our schools is criminal and our children are paying for it with their minds so easily manipulated. And that should be a lesson to every single one of you that homeschooling is better than sending your children to public school and even private school in a lot of different instances. And I know that not everybody has the luxury of homeschooling, but I encourage every single one of you, if you are parents, if you have a community that you can rally around, you know, I think it's possible to have sort of a group homeschooling environment where, you know, perhaps one or more of the mothers or even the fathers can get together and help to educate these children. And even more importantly, obviously, when your children get home from school, that's really, I think, even more important if they do have to go to public school, because then you have to essentially deprogram everything that they've learned throughout the day. It's not an easy job. And this is also part of what they've done to try to make it easier for them to take us over and to demoralize us and to essentially dumb us down so that we're easier to fool, so that we're easier to take out of the running, put us out of commission. Kristi Noem. So she wrote this book, which, you know, I mean, from my perspective, was written to make her more appealing to perhaps become the vice presidential pick for President Trump. But I truly believe it's going to do the exact opposite. So in her book, she writes about a couple of different incidents, which, you know, I think to the average person, it's a little distasteful. But, you know, just coming from the perspective of somebody who has known people who grew up on ranches, who grew up on farms, I mean, it's understandable and I can see it, but your average person who hasn't had a life that they've had to take full responsibility for is not going to see it that way. In her book, she tells a story about shooting a 14-month-old puppy in the head. Now, that's bad enough, but she positions it as an argument to show that she's ready to make the tough decisions that you would have to make if you were a VP and then potentially becoming president thereafter. Now, without any context, it's bad. But it's not a lot better when you actually get the context of it. So her dog, Cricket, was a 14-month-old wire hair pointer. It was a bird dog that I guess she had had for 14 months or, you know, roughly thereabouts. Maybe she had it for 12 months. I don't know. But she had the dog for quite a long time. And during that time, she was trying to train it to become a bird dog. Well, she took it out pheasant hunting, and apparently it had a bit of an aggressive personality, and it started jumping all over the place and acting kind of crazy. She said the dog wouldn't calm down. He was just really overjoyed to be out there. Now, as a dog owner, let me just say that not all dogs are created equally. Their personalities are going to be different. They're not always going to be as obedient as you want them to be. They're not always going to listen in the way that you want them to. But that's why training is so vitally important. It's like expecting a human being to exhibit certain behaviors when you've never shown them that they should exhibit those behaviors. It was a bad thing. It was a bad way that she raised this dog, but she took it pheasant hunting, and then on the way home, because it wasn't working out, she took it to a friend's farm, and when the dog got to the farm, it started killing the chickens of her friend, the one who owns the chickens, and it would just, obviously it was excited because it wanted the birds. It ran out of the vehicle and it ran after the chickens and it just killed them one after another, picked them up, bit it, killed it, threw it down. Now, clearly that's a major problem. That's not the kind of a dog that you know you're going to be able to trust. So she tried to grab the dog, and I guess the dog bit her. Okay, all right. So, you know, under those circumstances, given what we've learned so far, I think that it's kind of understandable how the idea of putting the dog to sleep might have come to her. Now, this wasn't recently. This was like 20 years ago or something. But instead of addressing it in another way, perhaps taking the dog to a trainer, like I said, calling Cesar Millan, or even trying to train the dog herself, she just made the decision that the dog was untrainable, and she took it out to a gravel pit, and she shot it in the head. I think that's just a little extreme. Now, like I said, understanding, you know, ranch life, okay, understanding farm life. I mean, you know, if you're the farmer, if you're the rancher, you're the one who has ultimate responsibility for the lives of the animals. And, you know, it's not the first time it's happened. I'm sure it won't be the last time it's happened. But even if there was no other opportunity, no other choice for her to put this in her book, it shows a remarkable lack of understanding of how most people would see this. You know, I mean, I've had to make some hard decisions in my life. I think every single one of us has. But those hard decisions are not always for everybody else to hear about, especially when it's in the context of, you know, putting a dog down. So I think that this was a big mistake that she made. And I don't know anybody. Yes, dogs do have a soul. I think that anything other than shooting the dog in the head would have been a more appropriate response to this. I mean, like, there are, like, the rescue centers, there are training centers that specialize in dogs just like this. Dogs that have already grown up with little to no discipline. Dogs that may have even bitten for one reason or another. It seems like the dog was just giving into its primal nature. I mean, it's a dog. It's supposed to hunt birds. That's already in its genes. So a dog like that, you ought to know you're not supposed to just take it out and put it into a chicken pen. Otherwise, it's likely to start killing chickens. Beachside, every rancher on earth has had to do it. That said, I did spend 40 years in Idaho, Montana, and I've seen it again and again. I tend to think that it's more of a regional situation. I mean, this is not something that you're going to see in pretty much anywhere else. And I've heard plenty of stories about people having to put dogs down. So I can kind of understand it. However, I also believe that there are other ways to go about taking care of a situation like this. And I think that ultimately where Christy Noem really faltered is in telling other people about it and thinking that it was going to be perceived positively, because it's not. I mean, she wasn't going to be VP before this, but she's definitely not going to be VP now. There's no way she's going to be VP. And then there's also the issue I have heard. It's a rumor that she had cheated on her husband, kind of like Nikki Haley, and President Trump knows about it. And so that's why he wasn't going to ask her to be his VP. But either way, I think that's pretty much the last you're going to hear of Christy Noem. I mean, as soon as she's done with this term of governor, she's probably going to have to get a job at a think tank or something like that. And you know, I don't think she's going to be on TV much or anything, because it's just a really bad look. I mean, it totally blank-eyed stare for this to be released. I mean, who are her handlers? I mean, she's in a position where other people are going to be proofreading that book. I mean, they're going to look at it, and I don't know a single person who said, you know, ooh, that's a good idea to tell people. I mean, I don't know. So that's it. But, yeah, I could never do something like that, you know, even given the idea that maybe I might own a ranch or something like that. I mean, there are humane ways to do it. Christy Noem was, I mean, I think she comes from a certain amount of money, you know, so like it wouldn't have been out of this world to imagine that she could pay the $50 to take it to the vet to have it put to sleep. I mean, I know a bullet's a lot cheaper than a shot of propofol or whatever it is that they give dogs, but geez, oh, Pete's just bad. All right. Well, continuing on, we got to talk about the inevitable transition that's about to take place come November. This was reported by Leading Report earlier, and a lot of people, you know, had sent it over to me. I'm like, oh my gosh, the Biden regime is planning for a transition. I mean, and the way it's reported, it's like it's something new and exciting. I mean, it's not though. And that's the reason I'm bringing it up, because quite literally, every single presidential administration, whether they think they're going to win or not, they begin the process of a possible transition. You know, they get things organized just in case they don't survive and then they end up, you know, having to leave the White House. It's happened with every single president in past history. So I'm just saying I would not read too much into the fact that Biden is preparing for a transition to a new presidential administration. This is standard operating procedure, and that's really all I wanted to say. However, I think it is kind of notable, given that Joe Biden is so unpopular. So I tend to believe that there may be a certain pall that's been cast over the Biden regime and the Biden White House, because they pay attention to polls. I mean, they definitely are paying attention to polls, and they know how unpopular Biden is. They know just how shit the country is right now and how bad the situation is. And if it wasn't for the fact that Biden is so unpopular, they might be putting a little bit less emphasis on the fact that that transition team has already started putting together their exit papers. I mean, Joe Biden is officially now the least popular president in 70 years. And the fact of the matter is that in the history of the United States, no first-term president since they begun taking these numbers and checking it out with this poll have ever had their approval ratings as low as Joe Biden. And we still got another 6 months until Election Day. And how many times have I told you guys, from my perspective, and I think y'all agree with me, I mean, it's only going to be downhill from here. Between now and November, I do not see an exit strategy for Biden where things improve for the general well-being of the country, or even for each one of us individually. It's going to get a lot more difficult between now and then. Summer hasn't even started, and the Summer of Love 2.0 is already in full swing in major cities all around the country. The pro-Hamas and, you know, anti-Palestinian apartheid protesters, really just a bunch of dumb kids who are getting a paycheck from George Soros to show up and engage in a little controlled opposition. That's really all that it is. But that means that they're going to be there to disrupt the nation in whatever way they're planning to have a disruption take place. I mean, we've kind of openly speculated a number of times in the past, you know, what would it take for the elections to be suspended? What would it take for Joe Biden to crack down in a more authoritarian display of power? Well, I mean, if there are universally across the entire country on college campuses in every single state, these kind of outrageous pro-Palestine protests taking place, that very well may be exactly what they need. I mean, I've said before, it would need to be a sort of nationwide natural disaster of sorts, or in this case, a man-made disaster of violent protests taking place all across the nation. So I think that that could actually work for them. To suspend the elections, if they did that, it doesn't mean that the elections are never going to happen. But unfortunately for people everywhere, authoritarian rulers will tend to seize power and then refuse to give it back. Now, if that happens, I do believe that there are forces within the United States of America that would seek to overcome those efforts to stop a peaceful transition of power, as the Democrats so frequently parroted on their talking head programs on the fake news media. So President Trump is looking really good in these polls. He had a 46.8% approval rating at the same point in his presidency, which is quite a bit more than what Joe Biden has now. Let's take a look historically at some of these presidents. Dwight D. Eisenhower, back in 1956, he had a 73.2% approval rating at this point in his presidency. Ronald Reagan in 1984, he had a 54.5% approval rating. Richard Nixon, who they kicked out of office, he had a 53.7% approval rating. He was, you know, one of the most voted for candidates in American history. Bill Clinton, he had sex with an intern in his office and used her as an ashtray. He had a 53% approval rating at this point. George W. Bush, he lied to the American people about weapons of mass destruction. He went and bombed the shit out of Iraq. He took us to Afghanistan, and he bombed the hell out of them too. And then he sent billions of dollars over there to build roads and schools and stuff. And it all ended up in the pockets of people who were probably lobbyists. Jimmy Carter, previously the least popular president in American history, 47.7%, or perhaps in recent memory. Donald Trump, he had a 46.8%. Barack Hussein Obama, he was less popular than Donald Trump, 45.9%. George H.W. Bush, a one-timer, he was a Jimmy Carter type candidate, he had a 41.8% approval rating. And now Joe Biden in 2024 has a 38.7% approval rating. Mark my words, my friends. Write this down. Clip this out. By the time we get to November, election day on November, that approval rating is going to be maybe even in the high 20s. Okay. I tend to think he's definitely going to get very close to 30%, but it's very possible he may dip below 30%. And it could get even lower than that. Let's be honest, because, again, anything can happen between now and November 5th. So this is actually coming from the New York Post. And looking at this kind of in a historical context, Nixon, again, they kicked him out of office. Carter, you know, he lost the hostages. They had higher ratings than Biden. Eisenhower, I mean, obviously, you know, I mean, he had just come off the highs of World War II, and the country was doing so good. It was a difficult time to screw up too bad. And every single incumbent in the past seven decades with an approval rating above 50% has won a second term. It's only Barack Obama who bucked that trend. And his 2012 victory came despite the fact that he was only around 46% approval rating about 6 months out from the election. Now, you know, we can argue about whether or not that was a fair election, but I think it's, you know, it's a moot point at this time. Jim Kyle, did you hear that Johnson was allegedly corrupted by taking $95,000 from a lobbyist? No, Jim, I have not heard that, but I have no doubt that it's 100% true. Pretty much every single one of your congressmen is taking tens of thousands of dollars from lobbyists. I don't know that there's a single one, to be quite honest with you, that hasn't been corrupted in that way. I would suggest that that's probably not the only thing that we could point to when trying to figure out why it is that Mike Johnson seems to have completely flipped the script on who he said he was, and the policy positions that he held when he came in as Speaker of the House. So the $95,000 from a lobbyist doesn't surprise me, not in the slightest. All right, so just keeping with the theme of President Trump, his overwhelming popularity, right now Donald Trump is holding a 6-point lead over Joe Biden in the race for president. Now, this is another important poll because it's coming from CNN. And as you know, if you listen to the show, anytime you see a poll, they are always going to oversample for Democrats. They will sample primarily for people on the left because they want the candidates on the right, and in this instance, obviously, Donald John Trump, to look as low in popularity as they can. So when you have a CNN poll that shows Donald Trump beating Joe Biden by 6 points, you can probably add 5 to 10 points to that in favor of Donald Trump. Now, what's even better is that even among CNN's own poll, when you inject a third-party candidate into the mix, it takes Donald Trump's lead to an even higher level. So the presence of RFK Jr., I've been saying this since the beginning, and a lot of people were kind of mad at me for believing this, but, you know, I've always said that RFK Jr. is going to siphon votes from Joe Biden. The people who support Donald Trump, they support Donald Trump. Donald Trump could be running as a Whig party candidate, and I would still be voting for him. Doesn't matter to me that RFK Jr. is there. We know his policies. We know the things that he believes. We know that he's wrapped up in the same sort of left-wing garbage that pretty much all of these Democrats are, and even a fair number of rhinos. But the fact that he is going to be in this race, it's going to take a significant chunk of votes away from Joe Biden. It will not harm Donald Trump at all. Now, President Trump's support is strong, and it's getting stronger. Right now, in the CNN poll, he's showing holding steady at 49% in a head-to-head matchup with Biden. Biden's only showing at 43%, and this is different from January. Biden previously was at 45%. So here we are 4 months later. Biden has dropped by 2 percentage points in CNN's own poll. Again, as we get closer to November, that lead is going, or excuse me, well, I mean, he's already losing. That losing percentage is going to get lower and lower and lower, meaning that Donald Trump's is going to get larger and larger and larger. If we look back, 55% of all Americans, regardless of political party, see President Trump's first term in office as a success. Only 44% of those who responded to the survey saw it as a failure. If we go back to January 2021, just before President Trump took or left office, just days after January 6th, 55% at that time considered him as a failure, likely because of what they saw in the mainstream media on January 6th. Again, this was a CNN poll, so you can probably shave some of those points off and make Donald Trump even better. But since Donald Trump has left office and Joe Biden has just, you know, run roughshod over the American people, the people who look back on Trump's presidency, it gets better and better and better in their memories, and it gets better and better and better because they see their bank accounts eroding. So, 51% saying that he was a success. 61% see Joe Biden as a failure. That is notable. Among all voters, when you put an independent into the mix, either RFK Jr., Cornel West, and Jill Stein, President Trump shows a 42% to Biden's 33%. Kennedy gets 16%, West gets 4%, and Stein gets 3%. And then Kennedy draws 13% each from supporters of Biden and Trump from that initial matchup. Now, when you look at Joe Biden's time in office and 61% of America saying that his presidency has been a failure, only 39% saying it's a success, that is worse than the 57% who called his first year in office a failure back in January of 2022. You can look back at President Trump's time in office and the entire time he was there and delivering on his Make America Great Again promise. You never had that many people saying that his presidency was a failure. Now, I think that these are notable numbers, and especially when you look at the person, or rather the organization, that is getting these numbers. We are going to continue to watch Joe Biden falter. He's going to get worse and worse and worse. It's going to become more and more difficult for him to govern. The country will undoubtedly begin to slide deeper and deeper into the recesses of the shit that they have put us into. But that's going to be good for us taking back America. Snowcat Operator, thank you very much for your donation over on Ko-Fi. I appreciate it. So, then the question becomes, who in the hell is voting for Joe Biden anyway? Well, apparently, the Biden regime is appealing to simps paying to look at pictures of girls' boobs on OnlyFans, because an OnlyFans creator named Farah Khalidi has just come forward. She spoke on a podcast to say that the Biden regime was pushing her to essentially pimp out the Biden and their political campaign in online discourse. That's right. Let me just say that one more time for you. Let's see. Who is it that Donald Trump is appealing to? Well, it's the average, everyday American citizen. It's the mom and the dad and the grandparents and the workers, whether they're union or non. It is the lifeblood of America. That is who he is appealing to. That's where the messaging is coming from. We're the ones telling everybody else that Donald Trump was a success. And if you want to be a success, we got to bring Donald Trump back in November. The Biden regime is appealing to lonely simps on the internet who can't get a date and instead are paying to look at pictures and videos of naked internet thoughts. And they are paying those thoughts to try to lure in those same lonely, disaffected young men. Beachside says, Planet PSYOP, welcome. Yes, 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 that is very true. So during this interview, oh, and it was on TikTok too. This is also pretty interesting considering that they're trying to get TikTok banned. Are they trying to get TikTok banned so that an incoming administration won't be able to go into the TikTok algorithm and the records and determine that the Biden regime was paying thoughts to pimp him out to young people? I don't know. Well, she was giving an interview and she claimed on a podcast that she created political propaganda. This was an interview with a political science researcher by the name of Richard Hanania on his podcast. I don't know what this internet thought was doing on a podcast with a political science researcher. Maybe he was a subscriber of her OnlyFans. I don't know. But anyways, she opened up and she's kind of talking about what she was paid to do. He said, so you were in school, you were still in college when you started as a TikTok person, right? Or did you start your OnlyFans when you were in TikToks or when you were in school too? I'm so interested. Tell me about getting naked on camera. No, I started TikTok like the spring semester of my senior year and I was like, F, I finally have to start applying for law school. And then like, you know, female privilege. Life is so easy for a woman. Obviously, I lucked out. No, I'm just kidding. But I lucked out and then TikTok was basically full time for me. Like I was taking ads by the time I graduated college from like the Biden administration, Planned Parenthood and like dating apps and stuff. And so I was like finally financially sustaining me. So then he asked her about those ads for the Biden regime. And she said, oh yeah, it's political propaganda. I was doing full time political propaganda. She said she was approached to promote then Ketanji Brown Jackson, highlighting her as a brown person following her nomination to the high court by Biden. Yeah, honestly, the funny thing is they're like, do not discuss this as an ad. That's actually illegal. If you are taking money to promote a subject or a product, you legally have to tell your audience that right there. I mean, you don't, there is no way that you are dictated in the manner in which you have to say it, but you have to make them aware that there is a transfer of, you know, value for you giving that message. So that's why I always say sponsored by, so that you know they're sponsoring. But she said that when they nominated Ketanji Brown Jackson, they paid her to speak highly of her in her TikTok videos. It's like a white woman emailing this, and she's giving me the script, and I'm like, no. And she's like, please. And I'm like, no, I'll talk about the news of it, but I'm not going to be like, I'm not going to have a white person tell me, like, this is how I feel as a person of color. It's just so, I think that blackpilled me slightly on political propaganda. Well, I guess if there's a shiny silver lining to this disgusting cloud. Now, despite her claims, she later clarified that it was actually a third-party media company that was the conduit through the Biden regime. They're the ones who got her to do this. Now, we've talked a number of occasions about young TikTok influencers who are being paid by the Biden regime to specifically spread political propaganda and to try to bring in those younger voters. We can take a look at some hardcore facts. I mean, you know, actual receipts about hundreds of thousands of dollars and probably millions of dollars across a variety of different advertising companies that are being paid to sponsor this sort of political propaganda. Every single thing that I produce on my channel is entirely 100% coming from my own mind, and I am not paid to present any sort of political propaganda, any sort of political point of view. I am not paid to endorse any political candidates. I'm certainly not paid to endorse President Trump. I endorse President Trump and the idea of putting America first because I know that it's the best thing for this country. You could not pay me $1 million to say, go vote for Joe Biden. You could not pay me $1 million to say, go get an abortion. Nothing like that. Everything that I talk about is how I feel because it's who I am. And so I'll just put that out there. But the next time you see a thought on TikTok or Instagram or someplace suggesting you should vote for Joe Biden or perhaps that Ketanji Brown Jackson is smarter than she actually is, just remember this story. So again, I ask the question, who is it that's voting for Joe Biden? Because it's not going to be the American people. Those 81 million votes were dead people, fictitious people, ghost voters, people who didn't actually live at the addresses where they were receiving ballots. And it would appear that they are now planning to make sure that non-citizen illegal alien invaders are going to be the latest big block of Biden voters come November. So we now have confirmation that the federal government is handing out voter registration forms to non-citizen refugees. You heard that right. This is according to a South Carolina state representative and also a congressional candidate, a man by the name of Adam Morgan. So Adam says that the federal government is including voter registration forms in packets that they're handing out at the Social Security office in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Adam Morgan put a post out on X, and he said, is the federal government giving voter registration forms to non-citizens? Well, yes, at least in South Carolina. A refugee sent us this form that was given to her in a packet at the SSO office in Spartanburg, and she asked, why are they giving us these applications to non-citizens? Here's the tweet itself, and you can actually see the packet of information. So let's zoom in here and take a look. South Carolina Election Commission. Again, these are packets that are being explicitly given to non-citizen refugees. These are people who have no legal right to vote in the United States of America. These are people who are either here as refugees legally or likely they're also here illegally, because they've come across the southern border as a result of Joe Biden and his DHS abdicating the safety, security, and sanctity of the American people in favor of getting these brown voters across the border so that they can ensure that they have people who will actually vote for them come November. So there's no question on the sheet about citizenship, although they know that the people who are getting these forms are not U.S. citizens. If you are not registered to vote where you live now, would you like to apply to register here today? Yes or no, or already registered, or will use voter registration by mail application. Applying to register or declining to register to vote will not affect the amount of assistance you will be provided by this agency. If you do not check either box, you will be considered to have decided not to register to vote. If you would like help filling out the form, we will help you. The decision is whether to seek or accept help is yours. You may fill it out in private. If you register, information regarding the office in which your application was submitted will remain confidential. If you decline to register to vote, that decision will remain confidential and will only be used for voter registration purposes. So it gets worse. Adam says that the relative of the refugee who showed him this form actually mailed the form back and criticized the office for distributing them to people they know were non-citizens. The non-eligible refugee who knows the laws of the United States better than the Muppets at the South Carolina Social Security office scolded them for making it possible for them to register to vote. There is no question, there is no even mention of the fact that if you're not a citizen, you don't vote here in the United States of America. But if you were a refugee or somebody who was here illegally, you would be forgiven for not knowing that, because obviously they want you to think that, at least in the very minimal, they want you to register to vote. So a few weeks later, the refugees received more U.S. voter form registration paperwork in the mail. None of this is by accident. Morgan also wrote in an update, after calling the agencies and all parties involved, it appears the form was given by the state gov, that would be the South Carolina Medicaid office. The refugee confused the offices. We are set to pass a bill prohibiting non-citizens from voting in South Carolina elections. Stop this nonsense in your state. If you do not have explicit rules in place stating that non-citizens are not allowed to vote, then mark my words, people are going to show up at the ballot boxes and they're going to attempt to cast a ballot. And in most states, if they don't even need an ID or they only require a driver's license, and the state government is giving driver's licenses to non-citizens and they're not making any sort of notation on those driver's licenses, those people are going to be casting a ballot. And as we know, the Biden regime is hoping they're going to be casting a ballot for them. Good dog. Thanks for the shades. Joe, good to see you. Trump, I am the storm. What a time to be alive. And then Porpoiseful says, thank you for all you do, Zach. Appreciate you. Diddy Style 07, good to see you, homie. Filter Dog says, the decency candidate. Is that Christy Gnome? Tamer Growl, good to see you. Dropping a can. Liberty Bell says, thank you for all your hard work. Much love. Much love to you as well. Who cares? High five. And Tamer Growl was in those NATOs and they got wiped out. Tam, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you recovering from the storm? Did you lose anything? Is your house okay? Thank you to Sean Joe for the can and Judy, the lady pug, for the cookie as well. Appreciate you guys. All right. So if we take a look at who else the Biden regime is hoping to get into the voting booth, they've announced plans to actually pay college kids to register to vote. We've talked about this before, but they call for a plan to reinforce the Voting Rights Act of 1965, because they believe it's been weakened by decisions from the Supreme Court. Now, Kamala Harris is announcing a couple of new strategies, where federal agencies plan to encourage millions of Americans to vote in November, because once they register to vote, whether they plan to or not, those ballots are then going to be able to be used by organizations such as ERIC, who are going to have those voter rolls, and they're going to know how many ballots have not been cast and which ones are safe to go ahead and just inject into the system. But the Department of Health and Human Services is going to be emailing voter registration information to every single person. That's over 20 million people that got sent emails last year. Every single person who signed up for the Affordable Care Act health insurance marketplace. They're going to be putting signage up that highlights that vote.gov is available. More than 6 million people every year who visit the Social Security Administration's office, and more than 1,200 who visit each office individually. The Department of Interior has a vote.gov signage display that's at national parks. Voter registration information is now produced in 20 different languages, because, I mean, why would you need to speak English here in the United States of America? They're even putting it out there in, like, Navajo and Chinese and Arabic. Let me just say this. If you're a Native American and you're a member of a tribe and you live on a reservation, then you're going to be a member of that nation. I don't believe that you have status as a citizen of the United States. Correct me if I'm wrong out there, guys, but pretty sure that's it. All right. So the moral of this story is that it is already illegal to cast a ballot if you are a non-citizen. However, they're going to try to do it. And I believe that the only way that we're going to be able to stop it is on a state-by-state basis. And the state governments are going to need to feel the pressure to ensure that they're not allowing non-citizens to vote. And, you know, I suppose that if you are a poll watcher, it's probably illegal to even ask people what the status is as a citizen and how many people actually do that if it isn't illegal. Okay, Rose says, some are citizens of America and their tribes. Okay, so I guess we'd have to take it on a case-by-case basis. All right, so, you know, the only people who seem to like Joe Biden are the people who live in Washington, D.C., and also, of course, the mainstream media. Over the weekend was the White House Correspondents' Dinner, and that White House Correspondents' Dinner was a typical Washington, D.C. circle jerk, where a host of Saturday Night Live essentially held this event at the White House or at some local event center. They gushed over what a good job Joe Biden is doing. It was clearly disconnected from reality in so many different ways. Joe Biden made jokes about prosecuting his political opponent. And Serter says Native Americans are considered sovereign citizens. Okay, thank you. All right, and there we go. Honey, I just texted you, but can you bring me some ibuprofen for my back? You guys, I woke up this morning and like my lower back on the right hand side, it's always over there. I don't know what the deal is. I have, I need to go to the chiropractor and I have this like roller thing that I lay on, but it, I can only do it for so long. All right. So, seeing this for what it is, President Trump called Joe Biden out. He said the White House Correspondents' Dinner was really bad. Colin just bombed and Crooked Joe was an absolute disaster. It doesn't get much worse than this, President Trump said on Truth Social. Here's Joe Biden seeming confused and forgetting how to use a spoon as he's trying to eat his salad. It seemed that he struggled to break a roll open so he could put butter on it. He told his own jokes, and I use that term with, you know, loose affiliation with what you might think it is. Here he is smearing President Trump with that fake bloodbath hoax, which we all know is one of the Democrats' favorite words.
And he promised a bloodbath when he loses again. We have to take this seriously.
We have to take this seriously. All right. Here is the host speaking about the economy and Joe Biden.
Everything feels strange now. By a lot of measures, President Biden is having a very successful first term, but people don't seem to realize it. Like with the economy, the vibes are bad, but the numbers say it's strong. The economy is kind of like you on the steps of Air Force One.
That's actually a pretty good joke.
It feels like it's stumbling, but there is somehow upward progress.
Okay. I'll give him that one. I'll give him that. I like that joke. Anyways. So, you know how I feel about Joe Biden. I know how you feel about Joe Biden. Judge Joe Brown. I like this guy a lot more than I used to when I was a little kid. Back when he had his own show, and it was called Judge Joe Brown, spoiler alert. You know, he was famous for telling it like it was, not pulling any punches. And he has done some scathing interviews about Obama and Joe Biden as well. He gave another one very recently, and he was in typical form. I mean, this is exactly what you would expect him to be like. We're not going to be able to watch the full interview because it's fairly long. But long story short, Judge Joe Brown has in the past come out in support of President Trump. He's always been a big fan of President Trump, but he's not been a fan of Barack Obama or a fan of Joe Biden. Now, I guess John Legend, who is, he's the guy that I showed you guys the video, him and Chrissy Teigen were asked on the red carpet about some place where they had had sex or some situation that was memorable. And she answered, well, how about that Obama thing? And then he looked at her like, you're going to get us killed. And they didn't elaborate. They didn't go into anything. But Chrissy Teigen was famously flamed on Twitter a couple years back for talking about sexy babies and pedophilic type things. So you can make of that what you will. But Judge Joe Brown, in discussing the issues within the American criminal justice system and, you know, the impact, Democrats love to talk about the impact on black communities and, you know, what needs to be done about it. He attributed a lot of that impact specifically to Joe Biden. And we've talked about Biden and Clinton's crime bill on a number of occasions. He said most of what's wrong with the criminal justice system in the United States of America, this trickled down from the federal level to the state level that negatively impacts blacks and other minorities. It was started off in 79, 81, 83, 87, 91, 94, and thanks to Joe Biden, Stennis, Eastland, and Byrd, the last one being Robert Byrd, one of the stellar grand dragons of the Ku Klux Klan, a longtime segregationist and a notorious racist who Joe Biden eulogized. And you can thank some of them for the problems with American criminal law as they negatively impact black folk. This mess about all of these people in jail, first offenders for one, rock. You can thank Joe Biden for the mess about crack rock, even though it seems to have settled into the household quite heavily. Yeah, crack is an epidemic, although it's not nearly as bad as fentanyl and even more insidious artificial opiates that are made in China or synthesized with the original ingredients in China and then shipped down to Mexico. He went on to have a recounting of a meeting that he claimed to have witnessed where Joe Biden made some fairly racist comments about black people, adding that these attitudes have been reflected in Biden's legislative actions over the years. He said, I heard the lowdown scummy bastard say it in front of me. This is talking about Joe Biden. It was in Dover, Delaware. He was on the podium. He said, Negroes are animals and they turn the streets into jungles and they need to be put in zoos where they are safe and can be observed. Now, this is also very reminiscent of Joe's statements about sending his children to a segregated school. He said he did not want to send his children to school in a racial jungle. I absolutely believe Joe Biden said this. Negro children are animals, he continued, and they turn schools into zoos. And I don't want my children going to schools with Negroes. It turned into a zoo. I heard him say that. I saw him when he did it. He's a liar, Judge Joe said. He had to withdraw from the presidential campaign in 1988 because he lied about his academic career. We watched one of those videos just last week. He was found out early. Why? Because he plagiarized some things that caused his expulsion from an academic institution. He's a piece of urban trailer park trash who's had nothing but government jobs his entire life and has turned out to be a very rich man because of the bribes, the extortion, and the downright payoffs that he's gotten under the table illegally. Now, he also had a few words to say about Fannie Willis. He suggested, obviously, that her actions in the trial against President Trump is a witch hunt, and that is true. He implied that the investigation also into the handling of those classified documents down at Mar-a-Lago was an attempt to shield Biden, which it was, and Obama, which it was, from incrimination based on evidence that was found on Hunter Biden's laptop. So, I love to see people with fairly large statuses talking about these things. Judge Joe Brown is not a podcaster. He's not somebody in the alternative media. I mean, he's had a hit television program for a long time, and he is super, super based. Now, just thinking a little bit more about the crimes and the illegality that is just running rampant and always has in the Biden family. We've just learned about new business ties that Jim Biden, that would be Joe's brother, had with certain world leaders. The turns out he had a business going with Qatari officials. Qatar being a Middle Eastern nation, obviously part of that, you know, it's like Qatar, Dubai. I believe it's part of the United Arab Emirates. I may be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure it's all part of the UAE. So This news broke yesterday. And apparently, Jim Biden used his brother Joe's name to do business with some groups in Qatar, the regime, who is a terrorist-supporting nation, and used foreign investors to finance the health company that we've heard so much about, AmeriCorps Health LLC. Now, this is the same company that had previously been involved in that $200,000 direct payment to Joe that he and Jim claimed was a loan repayment. However, there was no records for any sort of loan. There was no paper trail for cash going from Joe Biden to Jim, only the $200,000 back to Joe. And then in 2018, Jim had received that $600,000 quote loan. It's not really a loan because he never paid it back from AmeriCorps Health. And that was because they were failing. And he told them that using his brother's name, he could get foreign Middle Eastern investors to bring money over and to save them. So it turns out it was this group with Qatar that he was involved with. He actually did have Middle Eastern contacts because of his brother, and obviously maybe their involvement in terrorism as well. So that $200,000 payment was broken off of that $600,000 quote loan, and then Joe Biden never paid it back. Jim never paid it back. AmeriCorps went bankrupt. And if we go back to the relationship between Qatar and Jim, AmeriCorps was seeking investor funding from the Middle East because they were having such a difficult time here in America. And at that same time, Qatar had reportedly been cut off and they were getting financially blockaded by other countries. That includes Saudi Arabia. They had cited the support for terrorism in Qatar. And the country's rulers began showering certain Western connected business people and politicians with a whole host of gifts and financial benefits because they were looking to do some sort of funding and business in America so that they could untarnish their name a little bit. So Bob Menendez of New Jersey and his wife, they got indicted not that long ago, and they've had a number of superseding indictments since that time. They were charged with bribery and corruption because it came out that he was also a beneficiary of the same Qatari-led efforts to expand their influence in the United States. Jim Biden was in bed with the same people that Bob Menendez was in bed with, but Jim Biden has not yet been indicted. I don't think he will be under Joe Biden. But you also might remember Matthew Graves. He was a Biden-appointed U.S. attorney for District of Columbia. He actually represented Qatar and their terror-supporting regime. They were also involved with foreign banks and the financing of terrorists. So this is, again, one of those kind of circular things that keep happening here. They can't allow Qatar to get in too much trouble because if they do, then it might lead straight back to the Biden regime. You've also had a number of presentations for potential investors that were created by AmeriCorps. In those presentations, it described Jim Biden as the brother and finance campaign chair of former Vice President Joe Biden. You've also got Dubai in there. They reportedly handed money over to Jim and his partners. Now, as far as I know, none of the companies that ever got in bed with Jim Biden ever did anything but go out of business. But this is another black eye on the Biden family and the Biden team. You guys, we're going to have to take a break real quick for the second half of the show, so please sit back, and when we come back, we're going to talk about this story right here. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the Proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the No Fee for Life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that No Fee for Life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888- 1-800-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a consumer affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right, now this story is guaranteed to make some of you very, very angry. But I want you to think about it as a potential strategic move, because that's exactly what it would be. So we've gotten reports that Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis met this past weekend privately in Florida. And obviously, I want you to remember that Donald Trump seems to have this habit of hosting these public feuds with people who behind the scenes he's actually close with. Have you guys been on Twitter and have you seen all the DeSantards who are just so hateful towards Trump? I mean, when DeSantis was running against Trump and they were all like, we got to rally behind DeSantis because Trump can't win. He's going to get convicted. And we were all like, you guys are stupid. Okay. You'll come around eventually. Well, not all of those people have come around eventually. And plenty of them have said that they will never support Donald Trump as long as he's running, and as long as Ron DeSantis is alive. So coming at this from a strategic point of view, let's say number one, that Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis really were enemies. If they were to come together, if he was to choose Ron DeSantis as his running mate, then every single one of those Republican DeSantards that were not going to vote for Donald Trump in the next election, they would then vote for Donald Trump. So that would secure a voting bloc that may otherwise not throw their support behind him. But let's say number two, the feud between DeSantis and Trump was never real, and it was designed specifically to see who Donald Trump could trust and couldn't trust. And maybe Ron DeSantis threw himself out there as a sacrificial lamb to help Donald Trump determine exactly who those people were. Clearly, any of those people who were formerly in Trump's administration and turned their backs on him so quickly and said how much they hated him, those people are not going to be welcome back. If they hadn't revealed themselves, the possibility remains that they may have been able to sneak back through the gate. As an example, I submit to you Jenna Ellis. Now, I don't know that either of those are true. All I can tell you is that it's being reported by the Washington Post, so take it with a grain of salt, that that POTUS and Ron met privately just yesterday in Miami. Now, it could have been totally innocuous, but Donald Trump, as JR and I spoke about on Saturday, has yet to declare who his vice presidential running mate is going to be. I want to take you back to the beginning of the show when I told you not to get emotional about things without giving it some time to percolate. This is definitely one of those times. I submit to you that if Donald Trump chooses Ron DeSantis as his running mate, there will be an intentionality to it. He's not just going to choose Ron DeSantis because there's nobody else out there to choose. There is. There are plenty of other people that he could choose. If he chooses Ron DeSantis, I think it's because he trusts Ron DeSantis, and it's because he believes that Ron DeSantis will carry on the America First legacy. Freya says, Minnesota, 100% disabled veterans no longer have to pay tabs on two vehicles or sales tax on car purchases, 7.8%. I am still not going to vote for Waltz. Good. Good on you. Good on you. So they met for a couple hours on Sundays. I guess they haven't spoken since the end of the primary. And obviously, you know, they said a lot of mean things to each other. But you've got all of these people who support them and only them. And it's being reported that allies of both of them brokered this meeting, hoping to get them back on the same page. Now, DeSantis has already said vote for Donald Trump. And if the DeSantards online, like I'm sure you can think of a couple, I'm not even going to name them, if they chose not to vote for Donald Trump, even though Ron DeSantis told them to do so, it would be a petty thing to do. Okay? It's small. It's petty. Get over yourself. All right? If you're listening to this and you love Ron DeSantis and you can't love Donald Trump, don't vote for Donald Trump because Ron DeSantis is telling you to vote for Donald Trump. Vote for Donald Trump because we need to unite behind a central figure who's going to help us save this country. I want you to realistically look back at your life, your finances, everything that you had going on during President Trump's first term in office. And be honest with yourself, okay? Because all of the good things that came during Trump's term in office came because of Donald Trump. Okay? You can't look at anybody else in Washington, D.C. and say they did this. It was all POTUS. Warrior says DeSantis can't be VP unless he domiciles in another state because Florida, P and VP can't be from the same state. No, I'm aware of that. But President Trump has numerous houses all around the country. So, you know, he could claim, say, you know, Bedminster as his primary residence. Ron DeSantis could have another house in another state, too. I realize that there are sticking points here, but it is possible. It's entirely possible. I'm not trying to convince you that it's going to happen. I'm just presenting it as a possible outcome. So, again, don't get too upset about it. Just consider this because I can see the strategic aspect of it. So, from what it says, they spoke on friendly terms. President Trump's team is hopeful that DeSantis will at the very least help him make sure that they take Florida, help him raise money for the campaign, and allegedly Biden is out raising President Trump down here in Florida. Now, no matter what happens, I think that a peace deal is a good thing for everyone. I think that Ron DeSantis needs to convince those supporters who are too stupid to vote for Donald Trump that they need to vote for Donald Trump. I think it's Ron DeSantis's responsibility to raise money for Donald Trump down here in Florida. And it's also his responsibility to ensure that the entire state votes in a unified fashion along those same party lines for Donald Trump come November. But again, if it happens, then I'm just saying I trust POTUS and I'm not going to make myself lose sleep over it. But I will lose sleep if Ron DeSantis doesn't do the right thing and bends the knee because that's the only thing he needs to be worrying about. All right. So Hunter Biden has just announced that he is he's running defamation lawsuits against a number of mainstream media organizations and personalities. He has now launched a war against Fox News with a new defamation lawsuit. I want you to go back to just after the election when Fox News was sued by Dominion Voting Systems. Rather than defending themselves, they basically went to the judge and said, hey, we did it. How much should we pay them? Now, Hunter Biden's laptop is a different story altogether, but obviously it has similar implications. But Hunter's team has written Fox News to announce that they will imminently be bringing litigation against them, and they've asked for communications from all of their top hosts. So that includes Sean Hannity, Jesse Waters, and Maria Bartiromo. No word on whether or not they're going to specifically go after Tucker as another arm of this lawsuit. But they allege in their preservation of evidence letter conspiracy and subsequent actions to defame Mr. Biden and paint him in a false light. Are you kidding me? Have you read Hunter Biden's book? In your own book, you paint yourself as a degenerate drug addict who's smoking Parmesan cheese that you're pulling off the floor. You write yourself as a degenerate drug addict who smoked crack cocaine with Mayor Marion Barry. You write yourself as a degenerate drug addict who's addicted to sex with prostitutes and picking up trafficked women from shady Eastern European criminal organizations. Hunter, this is all in your laptop and in your own book. So anyways, they say that they used unlicensed commercial exploitation of his image, name, and likeness, and the unlawful publication of hacked intimate images of him. There was nothing hacked about that lawsuit, Hunter Biden. You were too busy smoking crack to come back and pick up your laptop, despite the calls, emails, and insistence of the owner of that store, whom you signed over all rights and ownership to, when you failed to come back and pick it up because you were too busy smoking crack or Parmesan cheese or whatnot. You left those pictures of yourself on that laptop and nobody hacked a damn thing. So it remains to be seen how this lawsuit is going to shape up. But if I had to guess, considering it's Fox News and they're not really interested in defending the truth, they're going to go the same way that they did with Seth Rich and with Dominion Voting Systems, and they'll probably end up paying out the ass. All right, speaking of possible sources of defamation lawsuits, I gotta wonder, is Hunter Biden going to do the same thing with Afro Man? Because Afro Man is the singer-songwriter who you may remember from the classic song Because I Got High. Well, now he's written a song called Hunter Got High, and it's about, well, I think you guessed it. Let's take a listen.
Shout out to Bass Records. Hey, yo, Hunter. Roll up another one of them congressional blunts, brother. He was gonna get his laptop fixed, but Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna show all them dick pics, but Hunter got high. He should have let Hillary bleach his whole hard drive. Yeah, hey, Hunter got high.
Hey, Hunter got high.
Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna mess with the hoes, but Hunter got high. He was gonna take them all out on the boat, but Hunter got high. He's the smartest man Joe ever knew in his life. Yeah, head to Hunter got high.
Hunter got high.
Hunter got high. La da 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 da. He was gonna go visit his dad, but Hunter got high. Thought he had a secret stash, but Hunter got high. The White House got shut down. We all know why. Yeah, hey, Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Hunter got high. He never could pack worth a fuck. Hunter got high. Now he gets a half a million up. Damn, that's high.
That's higher than a buck. That's higher than me.
Biden never used to start with B-U-I. Yeah, hey, to Hunter got high.
Hunter got high.
Hunter got high. Ukraine wasn't part of the plan till Hunter got high. China wasn't that big of a fan till Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna split it all with the old big guy. Yeah, hey, to Hunter got high. He wasn't gonna go to court, but Hunter got high. He never been indicted before, but Hunter got high. His attorney's out smoking a bowl, and we all know why. Yeah, hey, cause Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Was making 80 G's a month, but Hunter got high. On a job, brother, ain't never done. Hunter got high. He got more LLCs than John Gotti's ex-wife. Yeah, Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Hunter got high.
What about John Gotti's ex-wife?
His cousin was never a pimp till Hunter got high. He had the best friends that money could rent, but Hunter got high. Just imagine if he wasn't rich and so damn white. Yeah, hey, the cops would raid his house, eat his lemon pound cake, disconnect his cameras and steal his money.
Oh man, this is too good. So true. All of it is 100% true. I love it. Absolutely love it. And plus, that little last part at the end, you remember I reported on that like a year ago. The cops came to Afro Man. I bet you they knew he was working on this song. It was another setup by the Biden regime. They sent him out there to take him down. Oh, good Lord. Well, You know, while our side is busy memeing the Biden family, the Biden crime family into oblivion, you've got unhinged leftists like this special piece of buttercup cake right here. 63-year-old guy from New York. He's a Biden supporter. He hates President Trump. He's suffering from terminal TDS. Apparently, he decided it would be a good idea to key a pickup truck that had a Let's Go Brandon sticker on it. This is very similar to that story we did, maybe it was like a year and a half ago now, where like a state representative actually did the same thing. He had like an F Joe Biden sticker and the state rep like keyed the dude's car. It was on camera. Like, what a moron. Everything is on camera nowadays, guys. Like, don't be stupid. I know you guys aren't, but morons like this, they're the ones. This is who I caution you not to be like, okay? You cannot allow your emotionality to control your actions, because otherwise you might end up doing something stupid like this. So, he's a guy from Syracuse, New York. His name is Richard Phillip Brothers. He just got arrested in Florida, of all places, because he keyed this pickup truck because he didn't like their Let's Go Brandon sticker. So, he was arrested on the 26th of last month. He was caught on camera keying this truck. It was in a parking lot at a Winn-Dixie in Monroe County, Florida. It had occurred 2 days earlier, and the cops were able to find him, track him down. So Richard Brothers knowingly and intentionally used a key to scrape the paint off the victim's vehicle. He admitted he did this on purpose because he saw a Let's Go Brandon sticker. I hope he doesn't come across my car, because I got an Everybody Knows Trump 1 sticker on it. He admitted he did it, and he just didn't like the sticker. So he thought, hey, you know what? I've got the moral high ground. I'm just going to key this stranger's car. How unhinged is that? So anyways, he's now going to have to pay for the paint job. That's going to cost between $3,000 and $6,000. This is the thing, guys. You know, you can either have one panel painted, and you can have the body shop try to match it to the rest of the truck. But if you really want to be a dick and someone does this to you, you can get the body shop to say that they have to paint every single panel on the car so that it looks brand new and that every single panel matches. I'm going to be honest with you. That's what I'm going to do if something like this happens to me. So they caught him because of security footage. Big surprise. And that was it. I was able to identify Richard through my investigation and contacted Richard on his cell phone. He primarily lives in New York, but he owns a vacation home in Summerland Key, where he agreed to meet me. I arrived at Richard's house, and I asked him if he knew what this is about, to which he said, no. And this is all coming from Officer Lane, who wrote the report. He said, do you remember what you did when you walked out of Winn-Dixie to the green Toyota Tundra? What did you do to it? Well, I scratched it. Why? Was it the bumper sticker? Because they've got a ton of security footage there, man. Okay, I see you walking behind it. You look over at it. She's got a sticker that says, Let's Go Brandon or something. And he says, well, I guess it infuriated me. Was that it? Was that the only reason you did it? You don't know who owns the truck or anything? Yeah, that's the only reason I did it. Well, Mr. Brothers, here's the unfortunate news. She wants to press charges. So I have to take you to jail, sir. It costs about $6,000. It's a felony. When you damage someone's property over $1,000, it's a felony. Normally, I would get a warrant for you. But since it's a felony and it just happened 2 days ago, I don't need a warrant. He's screwed. I love this. This is so great. So this is criminal mischief resulting in damage of $1,000 or more. It's a third degree felony down here in Florida. And guess what? It gets worse. That can carry a sentence of up to 5 years in prison and a $5,000 fine on top of the obligatory recompense you must pay to the victim of your crime. Now, the owner of the truck that got keyed has decided to press charges. That's the reason they went after him so quickly without needing that warrant. He got sent to jail. He stayed the night there. His wife was not too happy about the situation, and she might leave him as a result if he goes to prison for 5 years. Here's a little body cam footage of Richard getting told by the cops.
Hey, how's it going?
I got the cop. I got a Florida.
How are you?
Good.
Stop. So I'm guessing you probably know what this is about, right?
Zero, Victor Alpha.
No. No. I just checked my truck to see if I hit anything.
Okay. So what I'm going to do, I'm investigating a criminal. It's a criminal investigation, okay? So before I ask you anything, I'm going to read you your rights real quick, okay? And then I'm going to show you a video, and you can tell me if you remember what it's about after that. Okay?
11:25, curfew.
Look at him playing dumb. He's hoping. He's hoping it's not going to be what he knows it's about. He's going to get away with it. Well, guess what? The eye in the sky sees all. There is nothing that you can do nowadays that is private. All right? So don't go effing around or you're going to find out just like this.
See, as you can see, the more you f*** around, the more you're going to find out.
Yep. You're going to find out just like Richard.
The rights remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to talk to a lawyer and have him present while you're being questioned. If you cannot afford to hire a lawyer, one will be appointed to represent you before any questioning if you wish. You can decide at any time to exercise these rights and not...
Look at his wife! Look at his wife! She's like, what the fuck did you do, Richard? She left him in jail overnight. She didn't even want to get him out. She's like, you deserve this, you moron. I'm taking the house.
Any questions or make any statements? Do you understand each of the rights I've explained to you?
Yeah, I understand.
Okay. Have you asked any law enforcement officer to speak to an attorney?
No.
Okay. Having these rights in mind, do you wish to talk to us now?
Yeah.
Okay. So anything you don't want to answer, you don't have to. Okay. So I'm going to show you a video real quick, and I'm just going to see if it jogs your memory about what happened in Winn-Dixie on Sunday night.
I was at Winn-Dixie to pick up some coffee and key lime pie.
Yeah. Okay. Do you remember what you did when you walked out of Winn-Dixie? To the green Toyota Tundra. It was not raining.
Okay, I don't recall. Yeah, I thought it was raining, but.
Okay, the green Toyota Tundra pickup truck that you walked up to. You don't remember what you did?
Honey, I would never do something to even put you in a position to leave me in jail overnight. I mean, this is just supreme stupidity. This is survival of the fittest in action. I hope that Richard doesn't have any kids.
A truck, yeah.
Okay. What did you do to it?
I scratched it.
Why?
Was
it the bumper?
Look at her mouth. Look, she just... She's just over there catching flies. Can't even believe how stupid he is. I married you? What the heck?
Because when you... they've got a ton of... security footage there, yeah, man.
Okay, so.
So I see you walking behind it and you look over at it and she's got a sticker that says, let's go Brandon or something.
Yeah. I guess it infuriated me.
Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Was that it? That's the only reason you did it? You don't know who owns the truck or anything?
Yeah, that's the only reason I did it.
Okay. So you went on the path, I could see you go on the passenger side and you, left a big scrape on that side and then I saw you do a circle in the parking lot and come back to it and then go to the...
She's like, I'm out of here.
I did.
Okay. She's already got a few dents and stuff on it, but she somehow knew that those were new scratches. And I could see like something black in your left hand.
Yeah. I won't.
Was it a key or?
I did it.
Was it a key?
No, it's my key, Bob. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have that with you? It's in the truck.
Yeah. I'm going to need to collect some evidence, Richard, you freaking moron. McSarge08 says, hey, Zach and Lisa, last night's FlynnMovie.com event was fantastic. I got to meet the general and Ivan. He talked with a group of us about how the movie came out from your show and interview. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate you. I'm glad that you had a good time. Anybody else who had the opportunity to go to one of those Flynn movie events, let me know. I hope you had a chance to meet the general, too. It's a great time.
Be with you as well.
She's so pissed. She's so pissed. Oh, my God.
Hey, Puppy.
Puppy.
How about 421?
Love to break up in New York.
Good.
Juliet Echo Delta 5084, JED5084 on a black Jeep.
That's a nice truck. It'd be a shame if something happened to it, like you had to sell it to not go to prison. I hope this guy goes to prison. I so hope.
Do you pick up truck? Do you, yeah. Do you live here full time or?
No.
Do you know which key you use?
No, I have no idea.
Okay. I'm guessing you know it's expensive to repaint a truck.
You have to repaint the truck. Stupid, idiotic, and I'm gonna get stuck in the truck.
I'm guessing you knew why I called you.
Well, you even honestly, at first I didn't recall. I couldn't even, there was no date, 324, yes it was.
Yeah, it was Sunday night.
Sunday, yes. I went there to get coffee.
Okay.
And it's stupid thing to do, but this whole, no excuses.
That's what brought you.
So here's the thing, because he's from New York, he thinks I could probably kill a kid and just get, like, processed and walk back out. Everything's fine. Well, guess what, Richard? This is Florida, okay? We don't play around. We do not play around. You wanna mess around with something like that? You're going to find out here. You're finding out right now exactly what happens, and your wife is probably going to leave you.
Get up. Hey, Dad. Get the fuck name out, Joe.
And you should.
Yeah.
Can't copy that New York deal.
He thinks he's just going to write a check. She's like, I'm out of here. Goodbye. She's so mad.
Two out of New York.
So mad.
Okay, so this brother's, here's the unfortunate news.
We're done.
She wants to press charges, so I have to take you to jail and start spending 600 around.
She doesn't even know yet. She walked away.
Yeah, I'll take it off.
Oh, I got to take you to jail, Richard. Yep. Honey?
Do you want her to take anything from you?
Well, she needs to get the individual to the airport, so.
Okay. Do you want her to take your car keys?
Yes.
Thanks.
Let me just double lock these for you, Richard.
I mean, dude, it costs about $6,000. It's a felony. When you damage someone's property over $1,000, it's a felony. So normally I would get a warrant for you, but since it's a felony and it just happened 2 days ago, I don't need a warrant.
Hi, neighbor, did you hear him?
Neighbors are up there.
I cannot, I can't fall. You got to take the airport.
101 and 7503.
Where is felony criminal mischief.
That's a felony?
Over $1,000 of damage is a felony. It's about $6,000 to repaint a truck.
So what does he have to do? What do we have to do?
He has to go to jail, and tomorrow morning he'll have first appearance in front of a judge.
Tomorrow morning?
First appearance for today is already over. Do you have anything else in your pockets?
No.
You want to get rid of this stuff?
Yes, please.
What about your hat? You want to take it with you?
Yeah, hat and sunglasses.
You want her to take it?
Yes, please.
All right, you can grab.
Oh, sorry.
I have cuffs on my hands, so.
I can't take them off, honey.
Does he need anything with him, or?
Do you want to bring your phone so you can have phone numbers?
My phone?
Yeah, you can bring your phone. They'll let you get phone numbers out of it.
All right. That's it. That's it. Oh, this ain't New York, buddy. This ain't New York. Oh, God. Too funny. All right. So I got a couple of, these are not funny stories. All right. There's some good and there's some bad. First of all, this one broke my heart. Okay. We're talking about a 36-year-old firefighter. He's now a retired firefighter, but even worse than that, he's now a dead retired firefighter. He was from New York. That's New York City. Now, as you know, public employees in New York City were forced to get the jab. So we're talking about cops, talking about firefighters, talking about, you know, a large swath, of the, New York City, Zach, please play a few minutes of this entitled Carrot. Okay. I will do that. Let me copy that and, we'll play that before we go here. But oh, hold on, pause. There we go. All right. So what's most infuriating about this story is that he was forced to retire. He lost his job. So, I mean, he didn't get a pension or anything. He lost his job because New York City officials fired him so that they could keep paying for the day-to-day expenses of illegal aliens. And his name is Derek Floyd. He had a heart attack and he died on April 15th. This is just 4 months after he got shit canned by the city. They basically said, sorry, Derek, we can't afford to keep you on the staff any longer because we've got to spend millions of dollars every month to be able to care for and feed and house and train for jobs, all of these illegal aliens that we're allowing in. The budget for the New York Fire Department is being cut by $74 million by the end of 2025. That's a lot of people who are going to lose their jobs. And if you're a person who took the jab so you could keep your job, what a slap in the face. Worse even is that he's got a wife. He's got kids. So what's she going to do? I don't know. I mean, she's between a rock and a hard place. So he was fired just a few weeks before Christmas. He'd been a firefighter for 4 years, and he was one of roughly 10 fire department employees on long-term duty. Now, long-term duty means that a firefighter was either injured on the job and given office work, or he's out sick for an extended period. He was working in the chaplain's office because he had another heart attack back in 2019 while he was in the fire academy. So he was just shy of vesting his additional medical benefits for his family. And he would have gotten more than $600,000 worth of death benefits was it wasn't for the fact that they fired him. So his family gets nothing. He would have had life insurance. They would have been able to help him out financially, help his kids and his wife out. And, you know, they've got debt. They've got a house. They've got cars. She's only 34 and she's, you know, a stay-at-home mom. So the fact that they fired him weighed heavily on his mind because he knew that he and his family were not going to have the means and resources to take care of themselves. So it's likely that he was already injured and his heart gave out as a result of the situation that he found himself in. He had found a job working at a nonprofit that helped veterans, but it was a lot less money than he was making at the FDNY. And he only had limited benefits. And because of those hours that he had to work to be able to make ends meet, he no longer got to spend time with his kids. So really, really sad story. You know, this is one of those things that people aren't talking about enough. The human cost, you know, the people who are just ultimately suffering because the various regions and municipalities and governments of various places around the United States are taking money. You know, they say we're cutting the budget. You know, we're going to reduce services. They don't openly say, hey, we're firing 25 people who require this job to be able to take care of their families. They don't mention that part to you. These people are illegal. They have no right to be here. And this man is now dead as a result of getting fired, has no benefits, has nothing to leave his family, nothing for his wife to live on. You know, who knows what's going to happen to her? Now, this is the part of the story that's better. But AstraZeneca was just forced to admit in court documents that their COVID-19 clot shot has the potential to cause some really severe and rare side effects in the people who take it. Now, this is the first time that they've ever admitted openly, and certainly the first time they've admitted in a document submitted to the court that their vaccine can cause these rare side effects. Now, this is part of a class action lawsuit that was filed against them, and their specific COVID-19 vaccine can cause thrombosis and thrombocytopenia syndrome, or TTS. We talked about TTS very early on. It was one of the first things that they determined was happening to people who were taking the AstraZeneca vaccine. Now, it's a fairly rare medical condition. But what happens is a person gets a series of blood clots, and they also have a low platelet count. So this massive class action lawsuit that AstraZeneca is facing is being brought by individuals who claim that the AstraZeneca COVID-19 clot shot caused serious injuries or death to a family member. So most of these people are not even people who actually suffered from it. It's the family and the heartache that's left behind after these people die. So this is pretty big news that they've admitted this. And obviously, it appears that AstraZeneca is going to be forced to pay out a large sum in court. But that does nothing for everybody else. okay? You know, there's a lot of other COVID-19 clot shots. And it appears that the Arizona Republican Party is addressing them carte blanche. They've just submitted a declaration stating that the COVID-19 clot shots are biological and technological weapons. And they've actually passed a ban, whole cloth, on the COVID-19 jab. So they are the second state Republican Party to pass a blanket ban and declare that the clot shots are biological and technological weapons. Now, Dan Schultz, a friend of the program, he's the guy behind the precinct strategy. He's the one who actually submitted the ban the jab resolution that the Republican Party of Arizona has now adopted. They voted just earlier, I think, this is yesterday. They voted yesterday. And they have submitted it to the governor and asked for the prohibition of these clot shots. And also to the attorney general, they have suggested that they confiscate all of the vials that are in circulation so that they can conduct an analysis of the contents. Now, you might remember that Dan is an attorney. He's also a West Point graduate. He's also a former U.S. Army counterintelligence and human intelligence officer. Dan is brilliant. He's a great guy. And his precinct strategy has done a lot of good helping to galvanize American patriots to get them involved in the process. But we need to do more. Precinct officer positions are not available always in every single jurisdiction, but many of them are still open all around the country. Now, his jab ban had initially been submitted to the Maricopa County GOP, and it was the Maricopa County GOP that passed the resolution by 87% of their members. There were just about 1,500 votes that were cast. And over 1,300 of them were in favor. The first ban jab was authored and brought to light by a psychotherapist by the name of Dr. Joseph Sansone back in February of 23. And there's also a lawsuit seeking to ban the jab down here in Florida. As you're aware, I'm sure, because I've talked about it, the Surgeon General of the state of Florida has advised that all citizens of Florida not take the jab in any form. To this point, we've got approximately 10 different Florida Republican county parties who have individually passed a ban on the jab and also declared it a biological and technological weapon, and also calling for DeSantis to prohibit the distribution and, again, for the Attorney General to confiscate all vials that are in circulation and to run forensic tests on it. The Florida Department of Public Health has also joined in the call to ban the jab. The Florida Republican Assembly, the National Federation of Republican Assemblies, the Republican Liberty Party of Florida, all of them have passed bans on the jab and voted on it and ratified it. So the Arizona GOP had previously been scheduled to vote on this same resolution back on January 27th, but there was other stuff going on and they were unable to do it. You've also got the Clackamas County GOP in Oregon and the Idaho Republican Party also banning the exact same resolution. So this is a little bit of movement. But it's a lot more movement than we've seen up until this point. And the idea of the jab as a biological and technological weapon is gaining steam. And with every passing day, we keep seeing more and more evidence to suggest that you should not take this and you never should have taken it. For those of you out there who are suffering with the lingering after effects of having taken it, my heart goes out to you, and I continue every single day to work on getting guests who can specifically speak to treatments that are available to cleanse your body of the toxins that are lingering as a result of taking the jab. I have a couple of more guests that are coming up here in, I think, in the next month, who are going to be able to speak to this specifically. So, Ainsley, I notice I haven't seen your name out there for a while, hon. I know you were real sick. I hope you're okay. And I know that you're one of these people who could benefit from this. So if there's anybody else out there that is also dealing with this same unique problem, please continue to tune in. And as soon as I have any more information, I'm going to let you guys know, because the last thing I want is to lose anybody else. We've lost too many people up until this point. And it's just, it's not fair. It's not acceptable. And I don't want to lose any more of you. Okay. This guy, however, is somebody I don't mind losing. He wasn't a Republican. He's a former Democrat Arizona State Senator, and his name is Tony Navarrete. That may sound familiar, but he was found to be in possession of some really disgusting material related to children. In fact, he actually has molested children in real life. You know, one of the arguments that sick bastards will give to suggest that child pornography should be allowed and people should be allowed to possess it is because they say that, well, it stops pedophiles from raping children. Well, no, all it really does is drive the fantasies that are already infecting these people's minds like a brain worm and spurring them to commit these heinous acts in the real world. So Tony Navarrete just got sentenced this past week on Friday. He's only got 1 year in prison. He was charged with 7 felony counts involving sexual misconduct with his 2 young nephews. This is, you know, disgusting. It's horrible. It happens a lot, though. Unfortunately, people tend to abuse the people that they have access to. And pedophiles having access to children, that's what they do. Now, here is Tony Navarrete right here wearing sunglasses. He's walking with a woman. I don't know if that's his wife or if that's his beard. But anyways, he's also pictured in the same photograph with the current governor of Arizona. That would be Katie Hobbs. She's lost a little bit of weight since that photograph, so you might not recognize her. But he's 35 years old. He was a rising star in the Arizona Democratic Party, and they arrested him and charged him with this felony for knowingly engaging in intercourse or oral sex with a minor. Again, those were his nephews. He's also got ties to a couple of other prominent Arizona Democrats. That includes State Rep Athena Salmon and then also Senator Juan Menendez, both Democrats. They helped him to draft a bill which required Arizona schools to teach sex education starting in kindergarten. So remember all the times we've argued that these people are trying to groom our kids at a young age? I mean, that's exactly what Tony did. Tony was trying to position these children to be receptive to the sexual attention of adults in the same way that he raped his own blood, raped his own nephews. Now, he was not successful in requiring schools to begin teaching sex education to students as young as 4 years old, but it shows where the mind of the Democrat Party is. All too often, they're made up of pedophiles and groomers. Now, he's actually close friends with the illegitimate current governor of Arizona, Katie Hobbs. She's also sponsored similar legislation when she was in the Arizona State Senate. And more importantly, back in 2023, Katie had vetoed a bill which would have made it illegal to film or facilitate sexually explicit acts in government buildings, like the Democrat aides did by, I don't even know how to say it, in a way that isn't offensive, but they were effing each other in the butts and then filming the videos and putting it out on Instagram. And Katie Hobbs thinks that it's a bad idea to ban the filming of sexually explicit acts in government buildings or in classrooms, because there was also a situation in Arizona where a teacher was fired for shooting a porno in her classroom, and guess what? She posted it to OnlyFans. I wonder if she also posted any overt political propaganda for Joe Biden. But in a phone call that was recorded by police, Navarrete acknowledged to touching the victim's penis and performing oral sex on this kid multiple times over several years. Now, the office of the prosecutor had actually failed to convict Tony Navarrete after a mistrial, despite the fact that he was recorded admitting his crimes on the phone speaking to his victim and the police were listening in. So they had to order a retrial by February 12th, and this is where Tony faced those 7 charges, including pedophilia. So Maricopa County Attorney Rachel Mitchell is the one who was prosecuting him, and she's also the one who failed to retry him after that mistrial. And his attorneys announced that they intended to appeal, but of course it wasn't successful. And now, even though he was facing, you know, even longer time in jail, he's now going to serve 1 year in prison. He's going to have 10 years of supervised release. They only charged him ultimately with one count of a child sex crime, and he's now going to have to be a registered sex offender for the rest of his life. But as you can bet, I mean, this kind of person is going to find a way to victimize another child in the future. There's only one way to ensure that a pedophile never reoffends, and I think you guys know exactly what that is. So couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I hope Tony gets raped when he's in prison. He probably liked that. Let's just say I hope that somebody beats him with a broomstick. All right, I'm not actually going to talk about this story. We are, however, going to move on to the discussion around President Trump, the impending Supreme Court immunity discussion, and, of course, the recently revealed details about President Trump's classified documents case down at Mar-a-Lago. Now, we've had a lot of discussions about presidential immunity. And, you know, there's an argument about it, obviously. I would say that it's precedent that presidents have immunity up until a certain point. That certain point would be, committing acts that may otherwise be illegal if it's in the interest of national security, the protection of America. And even that, there is wiggle room on it, because you could have a president who maybe decides that they want to assassinate a podcaster. We'll put myself in this, a self-insert, just like Hollywood. So let's say Joe Biden determines Zach Payne is dangerous to national security and he wants to have him assassinated, so he stops talking about all the criminal actions that he does. You know, obviously my death would be bad for America, because then information would not get out in the same way. But Joe Biden and his ilk could make the argument that my death would actually be in the service of national security, because it would be, my voice is a destabilizing force on the current regime. I disagree with that, obviously, but I'm just trying to put myself into the position of a president who might be willing to commit overtly illegal acts in furtherance of national security. Now, President Trump, you know, he didn't do anything like that, clearly. And Obama, you know, he drone struck American citizens, killed them without, you know, he was judge, jury, and executioner. He didn't press the button, but he ordered the drone strikes. Now, because they asked lawyers about it in the DOJ, they said, well, it's national security, so you're good. I think that that was an illegal act as well, and I think Obama should be prosecuted, because we don't know anything about that. There was no trial. There was only evidence that was presented by the government, and they said, we did a good thing. Trust us on this. But Stephen Miller takes the position that a lot of people in the chat have taken, saying that if the Supreme Court explicitly states that there is a boundary for presidential immunity, then Biden will no longer be able to be prosecuted when he gets out. You know, up until this point, impeachment has been the route that's taken when presidents act in a manner unbecoming of their office. And it has lost its impact because of the Democrats using it against President Trump for things that were not impeachable offenses. That's why he wasn't convicted after those trials. Joe Biden has done a lot in terms of his time in public service. Many overtly illegal acts that had nothing to do with national security. It had everything to do with personal security, the security of the furtherance of his own criminal family enterprise. That was before he became president. Probably during the time he was vice president, he would have no such protection under immunity that we're discussing. And anything that Joe Biden did after he left the office of the presidency, if it was an overtly illegal act, then that would certainly have no protection either. In speaking about the idea of immunity, you know, we're talking about that very narrow bandwidth, the types of things that presidents must do when they're forced with life and death decisions that have to be made in the heat of the moment without having to worry about whether or not it's going to come to bite them in the ass after they leave office, because you have a new political party that enters and decides they don't like the last administration. Now, Stephen Miller is suggesting that Biden is going to want that presidential immunity because of some very specific crimes that are being committed while he's in the office of the presidency right now, at least while he's living at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. So he argued that Biden is probably hoping that the Supreme Court is going to grant ultimate blanket immunity to presidents, because otherwise he may not benefit from a decision if it goes the other way. He says if there's no immunity for official acts, the moment Joe Biden leaves office, every single red city and red state DA in the country can charge him for financial crimes related to illegal student loan bailouts. In my opinion, that is something that would not fall within that boundary of presidential immunity as defined by me. They could also charge him for war crimes related to deaths of service members overseas. That would also not fall within the boundaries of presidential immunity as defined by me. They could also charge him with human trafficking. That would also not fall within the boundaries of presidential immunity as defined by this podcaster. They could also charge him with human smuggling and election interference, more election interference than you can count. Also, that should not be covered by presidential immunity. Joe Biden is not really the president. He's a puppet president. And the crimes that Stephen Miller posits there are all real crimes, and they've all been committed under Joe Biden's watch. But there's no national security interest argument that can be made for them. So I suggest to you that whatever the Supreme Court of the United States decides, those crimes are still something that Joe Biden could and should be charged with. I ultimately believe that presidential immunity is necessary simply for the argument that it can't be used, the threat of lawfare can't be used against an outgoing president simply based upon someone's feels about him. You know, it's like orange man bad, we gotta destroy Trump because otherwise he's gonna destroy our criminal enterprise. It's very transparent. So we'll have to see what the Supreme Court says, where they come down on this issue, but Stephen Miller makes a fairly compelling argument, and I know a lot of other people here are worried about it too. Joe Biden escaping prosecution on his own. However, just once more, he committed crimes before he was anointed as the Emperor of the United States. He's committed crimes while in office that have nothing to do with national security or keeping Americans safe. In fact, all of his decisions have kept America in a position of reduced readiness and made us weaker and made us less safe overall. So we got to keep our eyes on this because, of course, I think we're all hoping that things go well for President Trump. But it's a fine line, and we need to make sure that it doesn't go too well for Joe Biden. All right, let me just say thank you very, very much to a couple of my friends over here on the Foxhole. Okay, hold on. Why is this? Okay, Sean Joe and Judy, thank you so much. Sean Joe dropped another cookie. L.A. Martinez says thank you, Zach. Thank you, L.A. Minnesota girl, thank you for the cookie. Who cares, says Zach. Check, make sure the arc isn't blowing on you or your back. The arc, are you talking about my plasma globe? Are you talking about the arc from the plasma globe? Tam says check liver and gallbladder too. Sometimes they represent as muscle pain or strain. So I just had a bunch of blood work done, and there was nothing that was out of whack with those organs. But thank you. Thank you very much. This is definitely an issue with the alignment of my back. I go to the chiropractor quite often. I have not had as much time to go recently. It's been several months, and I'm approaching that point where I need to go back in there. My hips tend to get misaligned, and I get like this like basically like one of my legs becomes shorter than the other. So then they have to adjust it. It goes back, and then slowly over time it comes back. Thank you, Tam. Thanks to Sean Joe and Porpoiseful and Sean Joe for the cookies. Filter Dog says he would have picked up the laptop, but Hunter was high. Good work, gal. Thank you very much for the cookie. And CDP4JC says, thank you for playing Hunter Got High. It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure, friend. Ohio Kimmy, thank you for that cookie. Ohio Kimmy, I hope that you watched the show with JR and I over the weekend. Nakaz 808, thank you for the can. Aloha. McDeewey says, it would be a good move if DJT came across this store, Zach, a.k.a. JR. It would be a good move if DJT came across this store, Zach, a.k.a. JR. I'm not exactly certain what you mean, but are you I guess you're going to have to specify. Drop another chat in here so that I can decode. Matt says, let's go, fam. Get stoked. Thank you, Matt. Love you, brother. Good to see you. Porpoiseful, thank you for the cookie as well. All right, so let's talk about these documents. Judge Cannon, truly a friend of the American people. She is focused on exposing the illegal lawfare tactics and the setup that the Biden regime have been running against Donald Trump since the moment he walked out of the White House. So she unsealed an unredacted version of the FBI's search warrant affidavit that was used to obtain the search warrant itself. So if we, Trisha says, Zach, take Lisa out to dinner. Happy unanniversary. Love you both. Thank you so much. You're the best. I really appreciate that. Let me see. Yes. And, Left MD, there should be no immunity for treason. And Joe Biden is guilty of treason. I'm with you on that one. All right. So back in August of 2022, the Justice Department for the Biden regime released the Trump raid affidavit. It was highly redacted at that point. We looked at it back then. But since that time, news organizations have been asking for it to be unsealed so that they can get a better idea of what the rationale and justification was for the DOJ to go after Trump for the search warrant. So we got that redacted version, but now we've got an unredacted version. Now, if we go back to last year, Magistrate Judge Bruce Reinhart had approved new aspects of the Trump Mar-a-Lago search warrant to be unsealed. However, the government agreed that a redacted version of the response could only be unsealed. Well, it couldn't be unsealed without compromising legitimate governmental interests. What do you guys think those legitimate governmental interests might be? Do you really believe it's the interest of the United States of America? Or is it more likely to be the interest of the Biden criminal family regime? That's what I think, and that's actually, spoiler alert, exactly what it is. So in the unredacted version, we find that there was an unidentified FBI special agent who says that he received training at Quantico on specifically counterintelligence and espionage investigations. Remember that Jack Smith indicted Trump on 37 counts in Miami last year, back in June, for lawfully storing presidential records at his Mar-a-Lago estate. It had Secret Service protection. They were not in a position where people could just come in and read them. I mean, I believe he's got a skiff down there at Mar-a-Lago even. So they charged President Trump 31 counts under the Espionage Act for the willful retention of national defense information and six other process crimes, which stemmed from the conversations he had with his lawyer. Now, the unredacted affidavit actually makes it sound like all of the boxes that they were looking for originated from the White House in January of 2021. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. So we know that at least two pallets of boxes were sent to Virginia before they ended up at Mar-a-Lago. Isn't that interesting? What did we learn about chain of custody and how important that is in the last several years? What's in Virginia besides the Central Intelligence Agency? This was a setup, okay? Every single box that they were looking for was intentionally given to Donald Trump and made its way to some other destination before finally arriving at Mar-a-Lago. That means that information was likely inserted into those boxes that the Biden regime knew they could go after to charge him with these Espionage Act counts. And there was also documents that President Trump likely never intended to bring with him and likely never even knew were there when the federal government, the DOJ, the FBI, were making a big deal out of getting everything back. He was responsive, but perhaps President Trump wasn't as responsive as one might be if they knew that they had secret documents that they never even actually put into their private effects. That's right. This was a total setup. We learn that this initially started out as just a presidential records case, but it very quickly shifted from the classified documents to become an Espionage Act case, which they knew, the Biden regime knew, the White House, the DOJ, the FBI, they knew that this was going to be the most damaging charges that they could bring, the kind of charges that you could use to put a former president away in prison for the rest of their life. So these documents came out yesterday. Lisa and I saw that we were at TJ Maxx, and I was like, honey, you're not going to believe it. So anyways, we've actually got the redacted version and the unredacted version. So we're going to go through and we're going to read the new portions that are unredacted. So on this page, the FBI's investigation has established that documents bearing classification markings, which appear to contain national defense information, were among the materials contained in the 15 boxes and were stored at the premises in an unauthorized location. And then the next portion is redacted. Let's see what that redacted portion contained and just how damaging this might be to the federal government. Since the 15 boxes were provided to NARA, additional documents bearing classification markings, which appeared to contain NDI and were stored at the premises in an unauthorized location, have been produced to the government in response to a grand jury subpoena directed to F. POTUS's post-presidential office and seeking documents containing classification markings stored at the premises and otherwise under F. POTUS's control. Further, there is probable cause to believe the additional documents that contain classified NDI or that are presidential records subject to record retention requirements currently remain at the premises. There is also a probable cause to believe the evidence of obstruction will be found at the premises. So, they're saying, we think this stuff is there, we need to go get it. The National Records Association, or the National, is it NARA? I'm sorry, what is NARA? That's the National Association Records Administration, I believe, something like that. But NARA essentially was called by the Biden regime, we learned this last week, and they said, hey, go get a hold of Trump and tell him that you want this stuff back. And they did that because the Biden regime had already seeded President Trump's papers with classified documents that they knew they were going to be able to use to charge him under the Espionage Act. So the special agent who wrote this affidavit, he said, I am a special agent with the FBI assigned in the Washington field office. And then the rest of it is redacted. That unredacted portion lets us know that it's the counterintelligence division. I have been since 2016. Counterintelligence. Crossfire, hurricane, anyone? So he continues. During this time, I have received training at the FBI Academy in Quantico, Virginia, specific to counterintelligence espionage investigations. Unredacted. I am currently assigned to investigate counterintelligence and espionage matters. They didn't want Trump to know that there was an espionage investigation going on when they initially charged him, because obviously that is a very different beast. They wanted President Trump to be taken by surprise, and they wanted the ability to impugn him in the eyes of the American people. I see it all the time. I see people on freaking Twitter saying that, oh, Trump tried to steal national defense information. He was going to sell it to Russia. Poppycock. Preposterous. So some of that stuff, I can understand why they redacted it. But most of it, there is no logical argument to that. It continues. This next page is almost redacted in its entirety. And I remind you that two of these pallets of boxes that were transported to President Trump were transported from the GSA facility to Virginia and then on to Mar-a-Lago in early August of 2021. The GSA essentially called Trump and said, hey, we've got a bunch of boxes for you. We're going to send them to you. Where should we send them? And he said, well, send them to Mar-a-Lago. They said, great, except they sent them first probably to the Central Intelligence Agency so they could be seeded with materials that would then be used to set President Trump up. Let's take a look. Oh, totally redacted. Why did they redact it? Between January 12, 2021 and August 2021, the FPOTUS boxes were stored in at least two different rooms within the premises. Witnesses were aware. They don't even look at this. They have a number for the witness. They don't want you to know who it is. Was aware that in approximately May 2021, FPOTUS directed Mar-a-Lago staff to locate a permanent storage location at the premises for the boxes. In late August or early September 2021, witness observed the FPOTUS boxes in a ground floor storage room, hereinafter the storage room with no lock on the door. Sometime thereafter, the witness observed locks being installed on the storage room. Okay, so they were locked. Witness described the storage room as being located on the ground floor pool level in a hallway with other offices and storage spaces. The door to the storage room was painted gold and had no other markings on it. The door to the storage room is located approximately midway up the wall and reachable by several wooden stairs. In addition to the approximately 85 to 95 FPOTUS boxes located in the storage room, there are also other boxes in the storage room with merchandise such as challenge coins, garment bags, memorabilia from Mar-a-Lago like photograph frames and other decor. On May 27th, 2022, FBI agents interviewed the witness from Mar-a-Lago who was employed by FPOTUS during the administration and after the end of the administration on January 20th, 2021. The witness described the storage room as located in the basement of the premises. According to witness, the storage room held file boxes and gifts from the White House deemed too valuable to store off-site. The witness stated that the entrance to the storage room had a wooden door, which was spray-painted gold. So the FBI and the DOJ sent Jay Bratt, who went to Mar-a-Lago on June 3rd, 2022, to go look for these boxes, and the Biden regime was apparently entitled to get all of Trump's boxes, they say. Let's look at this page, which is also previously completely redacted. The records that came from the White House were stored at Mar-a-Lago. The storage room and the boxes of records in the storage room were the remaining repository of records from the White House. FPOTUS Counsel 1 stated he was not advised there were any records in the private office space or other locations in Mar-a-Lago. The agents and DOJ counsel were permitted to see the storage room and observed that approximately 50 to 55 boxes remained in that storage room. Remember, it's locked. Considering that only 15 boxes had been provided to NARA of the approximately 85 to 95 FPOTUS boxes that were in the storage room, it appears that approximately 15 to 30 of those boxes had previously been relocated elsewhere. The FBI agents also observed that the composition of boxes differed such that fewer banker's boxes were visible, with more plain cardboard boxes and storage bins were present. Other items were also present in the storage room, including a coat rack and suit jackets, as well as interior decor like wall art and picture frames. While testifying before the grand jury, Witness 5 stated that he did not know whether FPOTUS Counsel 1 reviewed any of the boxes that were in the residential suite, but he did not see FPOTUS 1 Counsel go in there. A preliminary review of the boxes and documents contained in the red weld envelope produced pursuant to the grand jury subpoena revealed the following approximate page numbers: 38 unique documents bearing classification markings, including 5 documents marked as confidential, 16 documents marked as secret, 17 documents marked as top secret. Further, the FBI agents observed markings reflecting the following caveats compartments, among others: HCS, SI, and FISA. FISA. Based on my trainings and experience, I know the documents classified at these levels typically contain NDI, National Defense Information. So, this affidavit was prepared by an agent out of the Washington FBI field office. Their name is redacted. We don't know who they are. But the FBI claimed that this FBI agent saw this National Defense Information. They found this National Defense Information in the boxes that NARA had and produced to the FBI in response to the subpoena that they sent out in May. So President Trump, they're saying, had National Defense Information in his bedroom so the FBI could be allowed to conduct an armed 9-hour raid to find them. That's not true, though. President Trump did not have National Defense Information in his bedroom. That's just what they said. And of course, they didn't want President Trump or his legal team to know that the FBI and the DOJ were lying in this affidavit, because if they didn't have the lies, then the search warrant never would have been given, and they never would have been able to come in there and frame President Trump in the way they did. Now, we have additional information. Judge Eileen Cannon continues to deliver. These are from Saturday, newly unsealed transcripts of a witness interview from the DOJ, which further proved that President Trump was set up. Now, the attorney for President Trump last year, Tim Parlator, is the one who said that the GSA is the one who quickly packed up the boxes at the end of Trump's presidency, and then they shipped them to Florida. So President Trump actually didn't even have anything to do with the packing of these boxes. They make it sound like he took all of this national defense information and deemed that he wanted to keep it. It was actually one of the federal government organizations that oversees the transition from one administration to another who did the packing. They're also the ones who shipped it off to Virginia before shipping it down to Mar-a-Lago. When President Trump left office, there was little time to prepare for the outgoing transition from the presidency. Unlike his three predecessors, each of whom had over 4 years to prepare for their departure upon completion of that second term, President Trump had a much shorter time to wind up his admin. White House staffers and General Service Administration employees quickly packed everything into boxes and shipped them to Florida. This was a very different scenario, a stark change from the standard preparations and operating procedures that is normally made by GSA and the National Archives and Record Administration, that is NARA. So, unlike the manner in which they saw other presidents ride off into the sunset, President Trump was essentially ushered out of the White House, scooped up and kicked out, sent back to Mar-a-Lago, and it was the federal government itself overseeing the transition that did this for him. President Trump didn't pack this stuff up and say, I'm going to keep classified documents and then I'm going to go ahead and use it any way that I want. Likely, there were documents that were in President Trump's office that he wanted to keep. Certainly, perhaps those documents related to the initial spying on his campaign, perhaps documents related to illegal actions committed by the former administration, perhaps secret information regarding any host of other things. But agents that raided President Trump's home at Mar-a-Lago back in August of 2022, they seized all these documents. And look at this. They staged it. And they took these pictures to make it look like, oh, look at what Trump's doing. He's got all of this classified information, top secret. Look at what Trump is doing. He's a danger to society. We got to charge him under the Espionage Act. And these assholes knew. They absolutely 100% knew exactly what they were doing. There is no other way to interpret the actions they've taken and the possible consequences that may arise other than to say the Biden regime has been working to set President Trump up from the very beginning. They knew about Biden's own classified documents that he willfully and knowingly took, leaving around in a sloppy manner, sharing classified information with his biographer and God knows who else, selling that information to China or leaving it around so they could just go ahead and pick it up, the Chinese Communist Party. It's such a different situation than what President Trump is facing right now. And Jack Smith has President Trump indicted on 37 federal charges, including charges under the Espionage Act, 31 counts. The whole thing was a setup. They did it to President Trump. President Trump was set up by the FBI. They also stole his will, apparently. They also stole 18,000 other items that were not documents, that were President Trump's personal property. There is nothing legal or lawful about taking a man's personal property when it has nothing to do with the case that they are there to investigate. And we also know that it was Joe Biden who ordered the FBI to get in there to gain access to President Trump's documents, to go to Mar-a-Lago and take his personal belongings. This is the most personal attack that you can possibly make up in your mind, because they know that Joe Biden is a loser. They know Joe Biden is a criminal. They know that Joe Biden will not be able to beat President Trump at the ballot box come November. So the only thing they can do is try to throw President Trump in prison. But again, it is not going to work. It's backfiring spectacularly. 2024 is the year of the boomerang, and that boomerang is about to hit him in the temple and send him to the ground. Now, on pages 2 to 3 of the ruling that Judge Cannon used to reveal these documents, it was shown that yeah, it was Joe Biden. Joe Biden ordered the FBI to access these documents at Mar-a-Lago. He ordered them to take President Trump's personal belongings. We can see that right here when we look at this document. On April 12th, 2022, NARA notified plaintiff that it intended to provide the 15 boxes to the FBI the following week. Plaintiff then requested an extension and on the contemplated delivery so that he could determine the existence of any privileged material. The White House counsel's office granted the request, and on May 10th, 2022, NARA informed the plaintiff that it would proceed with providing the FBI access to the records in question as requested by the incumbent president. As requested by the incumbent president. Joe Biden set President Trump up in what is undoubtedly a sick, diabolical plan designed to take him out of the running so that he can't beat him. We also just saw that picture, that fake crime scene, making it look like Donald Trump just had classified documents laying all around the place, much like Joe Biden had classified documents in his garage so that his illegal gardener could maybe take them, or his Chinese accomplices could sneak into the garage, or maybe even Hunter Biden could grab a couple and go make a couple of quick bucks to score a fat crack rock or maybe some hookers. The FBI also, in that image that I showed you, inserted their own documents, documents that weren't there, but documents that they knew would be more damaging to President Trump. You also have a photoshopped document in that picture. And then at the bottom of the photo that was actually provided to the court as if it was a real document, it indicated that this was a crime scene photo. They put tape around the area, making it look even worse than it was. They're the ones who threw them on the floor. They're the ones who staged this scene to make it look as damaging to President Trump as possible. These documents were not on the floor. They would have been placed on a table if the FBI was trying to be honest. You know, I mean, if they wanted to take pictures, generally what they do is they take pictures of the documents in the place where they are found. You go to Jeffrey Epstein's house. Jeffrey Epstein has naked pictures of little girls all over the place. The FBI didn't take them, put them in a pile on the floor, and then take a big glamour shot of all of the perverse naked pictures of children that Jeffrey Epstein had. They didn't pile all of the sex toys into a big pile in the middle of Jeffrey Epstein's massage table and then take a photo of it. Now, you take pictures of evidence. It's called preservation of evidence. You show it where it remains. So again, this was a setup. And as angry as it makes me, I want to thank the Biden regime. I want to thank the Obama regime. I want to thank the corrupt deep state that sits at the heart of the corrupt United States government, this failed and corrupt establishment that has thoroughly exposed themselves to the American people, that is so desperate, they're willing to set up, entrap, and destroy a former president who's going to whip the shit out of them come November, simply for the act of their own self-preservation. I thank them because they have single-handedly woken up hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of American citizens who otherwise would have just figured, hey, it's our government. They've got our best interest in mind, don't you? Don't they? I mean, how many times have you guys heard that? Like where you're trying to tell a friend or a family member about the corruption of this corrupt establishment. And they say, oh, the government would do that. Oh, no, they're here for the United States of America. They're here for the people. They would do anything to protect us. I don't see many people making that argument now. In fact, I don't see anybody making that argument. I see idiots on Twitter that are probably bots, but even them, they don't say that. They know the government's corrupt. They know Joe Biden has dementia. They know that Joe Biden is a puppet president of a former regime. They know that the government spied on Donald Trump, that they made up evidence paid for by Hillary Clinton. They know that Donald Trump was a successful president and he deserved a second term, and he will get a second term. 45th and 47th. And the 46th is going to go down in history as the worst president in the history of our nation, nearly bringing us to the brink of total destruction. And in doing so, waking up the citizens of this nation so that they can once again take control and remove that consent to be governed by that failed and corrupt establishment. I love you guys. I want to thank you very much for being here. We will prevail. I go back to my point at the start of this show. America is strong. Our people are resolute. We will not fail. We are going to take our country back and we will restore it. We will make America great again. Thank you very much for being here. Final thank yous over here on Pilled. Let me say thank you to Mick Dewey, who says the firefighter story, DJT has a heart of gold. Did DJT offer to pay money to the wife? I know that he's helped out widows in the past. Let me say thank you to Filter Dog One for the can, or excuse me, for two cookies. Julie Kelly has done a great job. Julie Kelly is amazing. I absolutely love Julie Kelly. I'd love to have her on the show. Bacon Slut, thank you for the cookie. NX17, thank you for the can. Sean Joe and Two in the Pink, thank you very much for the cookies, you guys. I really appreciate it. Fed Cure over here on Rumble says, take care of that back. By the way, no issues with posting comments here. Comments still deleted on Refresh on Badlands channel. Best. Yeah, I wish I knew what was going on. I've got people who tell me, who have told me, you know, that happened to them on my channel. And I don't delete comments. I mean, even the morons who come in there and say, you're a shill for Israel or something like that. I don't even delete those comments. There's not a lot of them. Because I'm not. But there is a lot of bugs that have yet to be worked out on Rumble. I'll tell you what, I never hear about comments getting deleted on Pilled, 100%. All right, you guys. Thank you very much, everyone. I love you. I appreciate you. If you have not yet, please hit the like button. Over there on Rumble, we've got 4,560 people watching and only 887 likes and 11 downvotes. So I need at least 11 more likes, and I would really appreciate it if we could break the 1,500 like marker. I'm only asking a very small percentage of you to hit that like button. It's really easy. It's very simple. If you're on Roku, if you're on any other platform, you can hit the like button. It is the thumbs up. That means you like this show. Also, consider sharing this show, whether you're over there on Pilled or you're over there on Getter or if you're over there on Twitter, wherever you are, please share it. Got some comments. Hey, Tom Zawistowski, my brother from another mother. He's watching over on Twitter. I have been well, my friend. I hope you have too. We got to get you back on the show, Tom. I love you. And you've got, great stuff going on over there for the people of Ohio. Let me see. Beasting Pigtails says this made my day. I don't know if that's because you like the show or because you're laughing at me, but either way, I don't care. Anyways, that's all I've got for you. Have a great day. Good luck. God bless. Gold pills are coming out now.